Okay, now we're recording. Everybody sound good? Everybody's good?
Check,
good.
Check, checkity check.
Hey.
All right.
Cool. All right. Give us the intro whenever you're ready.
Well, I'm doing it?
Yes.
All right. Just hang tight. Hang tight with me, people. Give me 1 second. I thought Tony was doing this. The fallout from Super Showdown. Dominion. T-Donk. Kate. The Great is with us, and Selena De La Renta! Is that?
That's it, right?
Nailed it.
All right! It's the Shouting Wizards, donkeys!
And your mic is so loud.
I'm always loud.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rantium Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
This is international superstar Flip Gordon, and you are listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
God damn.
And we're back in Studio A. It's the two-man group.
And
Kate the Great.
Hello.
Joining us on third mic tonight, replacing the stuttering, mumbling Matthew.
Ah.
I like that. It's the Shining Wizards where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
And we got a lot of pay-per-views and dooses and don'ts to cover this week. A
lot more don'ts than dooses.
Well, first of all, how are you, sir?
I'm very good.
Kate, how are you?
I'm doing so well.
It's been a long time no see for me. I know you sat in with the boys a couple of weeks ago.
About a month ago-ish?
Yeah, that sounds right.
About a month ago.
But not with you. That was G1 Supercard only.
That was G1 Supercard. And you know what? Something I didn't realize going back and watching Dominion this week. We got to see the IWGP Championship change hands for the first time outside of Japan. We were there for that.
That's right.
That's cool.
Yahtzee.
That is awesome. And Jay White lost, so fuck Jay White. Hey.
Why? Listen, let me ask you something. What is your vendetta against Jay White?
Is Jay...
And first of all, he looks nothing like a thin John Tenta.
He looks like a deflated John Tenta. Yes, he does.
No, he does not.
Yes, he completely does.
I'll give you like a deflated Tony Nese.
He looks like a macaw or like a parrot or something like that. Like he's got like a beak and like the shrunken head. Like every time he speaks, all I think of is like, ah!
Like Fruit Loops. You just think of cereal.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. He used to be United States champion, right?
Okay.
He used to be IWGP champion, right?
All right.
Does he have those titles anymore?
I know where you're going.
You know why he doesn't? Because he's a fucking loser. That's why I don't like Jay White. The L, the Jay White, the L stands for loser. I don't know. I was going with that.
No, I mean, I mean no one does. T-Donk?
Yeah, but T-Donk, really?
That's your new nickname.
So gross.
I'm going to call him K-Butt from now on.
Call me K-Butt.
What's up, K-Butt?
Sounds like a radio station.
K-Butt.
Next on WKBUTT, K-Butt.
No, two T's?
That's right.
I was thinking more like K-B-U-T, but...
K-Butt what?
K-Butt what? Sorry you had to join this tonight, Kate. How
no,
are
I'm
you?
Excited.
Everything's cool?
I'm excited to be here.
Kate, this is a very special podcast.
Oh, you're right. It is, because you know whose birthday's tomorrow?
Who's that?
Oh,
Mark Henry.
K-Butt's birthday.
Not K-Butt.
And just in time for K-Butt's birthday.
It's also Mark Henry's birthday tomorrow.
Well, we don't give a shit because Mark Henry hates people.
You got me a present?
I got you an awesome present.
Oh, boy. K-Butt is...
And you can see the great people at Amazon packaged it perfectly. They left you a little rip tab there to tear it open.
K-Butt is nervous about this, T-Donk.
We don't have an unboxing video.
We should do an unboxing. I can fake one later.
That's all right. You can pose for what's inside.
What you can't see is he's opening it like an 8-year-old for the anticipation. Right.
There you go.
I see it's a retro, but what kind of retro is it? Yeah! Woo! Tony, you just made the list. The good list.
Chris Jericho and Ugly Shawn Michaels retro. Yeah.
You could
I needed these.
You could reenact WrestleMania 20, whatever.
I literally just posted on this. I'm in like a bunch of action figure groups on Facebook, and everyone says this is such like a peg warmer, meaning that it's like always available in stores. But I still needed it. I didn't never find them
anywhere.
They're
not available. They're not cheap anymore either.
You know like, where you got to go? And I think there's one kind of close to you, Tone T-Donk.
Wow.
I think there's a Five Below right down the road. I think we passed it on the way to going into G1, didn't we?
There's one on Route 3.
No, there's one on...
Oh, and there's one in Kearney, too, yes.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to go into that Five Below to see if I can find these for like $1.50. But I'll take them as a gift. Wow, thank you very much. Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho retro figures, which I am collecting now, too, because I decided that being broke without action figures just wasn't fun enough. So
okay,
if I'm going to be broke, I'm going to have action figures. So thank you very much, T-Donk.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's to make up for the fact that we don't have Jim Powers tonight.
We don't have Jim Powers?
Unless Matt is calling a surprise and Selena De La Renta is not calling in. It's really
so
Jim
we
Powers.
Think it's Selena De La Powers?
That maybe? Sounds really weird. Well, now I'm thinking it's like Mega Powers.
Mega Powers. We have a friend named Dave Powers who is
like that's his like legit name.
Legit shoot
Stop.
Name. Like lifelong Shining Wizards friend of the show, and he's been on it many times. So we call him his nickname is Mega Powers. And I used to work with him at a company called Grays, and no one knew him as Mega Powers. So when I would go into work, I'd be like, Mega. And they're like, why is...
What the hell are you talking about?
Who's Mega Powers?
Oh, God, don't care.
That was a great story, Kev.
Thank you. Listen, it's my birthday, bitches.
Sorry, just feel like being a dick. That's all right. You can't be too high on your birthday. You got to take it down a peg.
Too high? I'm not high. I don't do the ganj.
That's all right.
I do the Bud Light.
You're making this very uncomfortable for me.
Why?
You're staring into my eyes, telling me like,
where am I supposed to look?
You're like, K-Bud does the Bud Light.
K-Bud. Oh, K-Bud could be both.
Oh,
K-Bud.
Boy. I'm doing that for Matt because he hates when I ring the bell for every fucking thing.
T-Donk.
Hey, so there was a lot of wrestling this weekend.
A whole lot
there
of wrestling.
There was a lot of wrestling this weekend.
And it all started Friday afternoon in Saudi Arabia. Jeddah, to be exact.
WrestleMania equivalent.
Jeddah mind trick.
Pay-per-view, where no titles changed.
All right, I got to play this because it's going to take us right there to Saudi Arabia. See, the first thing I thought that was weird, right?
I feel like I'm there right now.
Saudi Arabia, they have lots of money. Like, this is not a thing that...
they have lots of money. Very astute observation,
all right,
Tony.
But follow me. I'm going somewhere. All right. I'm not just like, hey, they got money, you know, like, hey, the sky's blue.
All right.
So they're performing in this huge stadium in Saudi Arabia, right? Now, it gets hot over there in Saudi Arabia. You would think that they would do something to cool it down, considering everybody that's anybody is wearing, like, the long garb, the women are wearing the headdresses.
Not as many as there were the first time.
Yes, you're right. But I heard that Jeddah is a much more liberal city than Riyadh is, so that's why you see more of that. But here's the other thing. They're saying during the middle of the show that like ringside temperature is like 102 degrees with the heat index. You would think that they'd have some sort of air conditioning going on in there, or even a couple box fans at ringside.
It's not like MetLife Stadium where you have like people on the benches with their little fan, like salon fan.
Yeah, but you would think like, you would think a stadium like that with all the money they have over there that somebody would have incorporated this.
Nah, they're trying to grow them tough over there.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Tough Saudi Arabia.
Do you think that contributed to any of the less than wonderful matches that we saw?
100%.
100%.
I think it did, and I think it definitely was responsible for the crowd reaction, too. Like, you're sitting there for hours. I was at WrestleMania in great weather, actually, and I was exhausted. I can't imagine being in 100-degree heat for that long.
For fucking 5 hours.
Yeah. To see
if the, that. I mean, like, at the least.
But to see bad wrestling.
To see the best in the world.
See, people are going to hate me. I'm going to play so devil's advocate on this show. It's going to be insane.
Gross.
We
it
know.
Was bad.
It really wasn't all that bad.
Look, we were joking around before the show. It wasn't terrible. There were terrible things about it, which we'll get into. But there were some redeeming qualities.
A lot of good in-ring work from not Goldberg and Undertaker.
Well, I mean, yeah, all right, so we'll get
okay,
into
but
it.
Okay, but good in-ring work is not a WrestleMania equivalent pay-per-view.
But see, here's the thing. If you believe that that's what it was, then that's kind of... I've been saying these shows are glorified house shows. I've been saying that forever.
Yeah, they're pretty much meaningless in the grand scheme of things.
Correct.
So don't market it that way. Don't tell me it's a WrestleMania equivalent pay-per-view. Get my hopes up, and then the people who are there don't even care about it.
Oh, no, that's fair. But I totally don't blame them for marketing that way. Why wouldn't you market it as the biggest show of the year times two? Or
because you can't deliver that.
I mean, they can. It's just what Saudi Arabia wants.
It's the WrestleMania equivalent in the Middle East.
That's even just such a dumb, gross phrase, the WrestleMania equivalent. And then I feel like that cheapens WrestleMania in a way.
Well, I think...
Okay, that's definitely a fair point. If you produce something that's not even remotely going to deliver like WrestleMania delivers, then calling it that does dismiss WrestleMania a little bit. I 100% agree with that.
Also, don't duplicate my Christmas morning. WrestleMania is supposed to be its own thing. You know what I mean? That's wrestling point. Christmas for
me. When was the last time you truly enjoyed a WrestleMania?
I mean... The one I just went to was my first one, so.
That was your first WrestleMania that you've ever been to?
That was my first WrestleMania in person, yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That's cool.
So, really recently.
Okay. Like, Tony, like, what's a WrestleMania that you could honestly remember? You didn't have to be there, but that you just loved watching. For me, it's definitely not in the last, like, 10 years. And that's not saying that these shows weren't good.
Not even WrestleMania? That I felt like actually
Daniel
delivered
Bryan?
Pretty strong. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That delivered pretty strong all around, I felt like.
Don't remember any of the undercard on that. I remember Daniel Bryan wrestled Triple H.
Touché.
He opened the card against Triple H, right?
It was Batista and Randy Orton in
the triple threat at the end. So, that's the thing.
That happened.
It's weird. Like, the more we do this and, like, the older we get, our long-term memory is way more solid than our short-term. Because I can't tell you undercards for... I can tell you main events, probably, for every WrestleMania. But undercards, oof, that's rough. Until you go back to like 12, 11, 10, 13.
Yeah, but
like,
even some of my favorites, I probably would really have to scratch and claw to remember the undercards for all of them.
Which what's your favorite WrestleMania of all time?
I'll just, not that I, like,
you're gonna
my
say
head
three.
Right now. Yeah, I'm going to say three. But do I always remember that Billy Jack Haynes and Hercules were on the undercard?
That was the first match I thought of.
Do I always remember that the Killer Bees were supposed to wrestle the Sheik and Volkov and Jim Duggan got involved? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I could probably do the whole card.
Do
wow.
it. I have faith in you. Because
I probably could. The New Dream Team against...
Dino Bravo and Greg Valentine.
And Greg Valentine. And,
against the Bulldogs?
Was it the Bulldogs?
Or was it Strikeforce? I'm just dealing
no,
with your
Can-Am Connection. Wait, Can-Am Connection wrestled Morocco and Bob Orton, right?
Fuck.
Right?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it was Jake and Honky Tonk Man. It was Hogan Andre, of course. It was Steamboat Savage.
Yeah. Billy Jack, Hercules, the legendary
But there
match.
Wasn't a tag team title match. Wasn't it a six-man?
Danny Davis and the Hart Foundation versus Strikeforce. And
Tito Santana, probably.
Well, Tito Santana was in the Strikeforce.
Tito Santana, my little cousin's
no,
math
it was the Bulldogs.
Teacher?
Was
gym
it?
Teacher?
Spanish teacher?
It was the
was
Bulldogs and Tito. Because
Bulldogs and Tito.
Can-Am Connection wrestled, right.
Fucking Christ.
All right, we have phones.
Matt's listening to this
Google.
Like, what the fuck are these assholes talking about?
Wait, while you're researching that, do you have a favorite WrestleMania match of all time?
Oh, mine is 100% Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Iron Man. WrestleMania
I mean,
12.
Just
or Bret Hart, Owen Hart.
Just
because
I was
10.
A kid, I mean, I liked Steamboat Savage. I liked Bret Owen. I liked the ladder match from WrestleMania 10. Just for history's sake, Hogan and The Rock was great. Hogan and Andre was great. Savage and the Warrior was great. Hogan Warrior was great.
That was a lot of fun.
It was a great. I mean, it wasn't a five, but with everything around
it was WrestleMania
it,
6,
it bumped,
exactly.
Yeah. fucking boo. I gotta have my T-Dog. Up. Jesus.
We gotta make
that did you pull
shirt.
Up the card?
No.
I'm buying time over here.
I was having a good time.
Hey. All right.
Whoa, what the fuck was that?
I'm entertaining you.
David Adams here.
Hey, it's K-Butt on the radio.
K-Butt and T-Donk bringing you the best drive.
T-Donk.
What is it? More afternoon drive radio? T-Donk and K-Butt?
Yes.
I like it.
That's a shirt.
Donkin' home with the butt. There you go.
Donkin' home with the butt.
Donkin' the butt. There's a shirt in there somewhere. We'll figure it out.
Afternoon drive.
So let's go back to Saudi Arabia.
I've never been to Saudi Arabia. I'll tell you why. Because there were some good fucking matches on this show.
Then let's do the bad.
All right.
I don't know what they were going for with Lars Sullivan against the Lucha House Party, but that clearly was not it.
That was silly.
Is there anything working about Lars Sullivan right now? Like, genuinely. That's not even me being like my snarky bitchy self, but like, I mean, genuinely, what's working?
Well, clearly Twitter isn't working for him.
Well, complete racism aside, but like, his promos are weird and terrible.
I'm waiting for him and Braun Strowman. It's inevitable. Is that not inevitable, him and Braun Strowman?
Here's the other thing. I don't think he's that much of a freak. Like, I don't buy it. You know what I mean?
He's got a freak.
I'm like, he's not that freakish in comparison to other WWE superstars.
He's got a weird head.
He's got a weird head. So does John Cena, though.
That's a good point.
He looks like Kozlov with like 40 extra pounds body wise.
Vladimir Kozlov?
Yes. And he's got the head. He's got
the French angel?
No, I was thinking more of Heidenreich, just with like 20 pounds extra in his face.
I was going to say, wasn't there like an old school guy, like real heel, called like the French angel, who was like a goblin?
You have a lot of stuff to look up.
I just feel like he's not that much of a freak and that the audience doesn't care at all.
Well, I mean, the other thing is you have Brock. You have Braun.
Exactly.
You have Lashley, who's not working. I mean, and Braun, they're kind of like just pushing off to the wayside. You really need another monster? And
Holy shit. As soon as I type in French Angel Wrestler, the first thing that comes up is Lars Sullivan is a throwback to more terrifying era of pro wrestling. And the French Angel was a thing. All right.
All right. Well, there you go. The French Angel.
One for two on looking stuff up.
That's right. Well, I can't be one for two yet because I haven't done the other one yet.
I'm going to have to get to the other one. Let me see.
It's WrestleMania 3. How do we don't know this?
Because it was a long time ago, Kev.
But the network.
Do you sit around? Well, I mean, I can't say that. Yes. You do sit around. He does.
I stay up till 6 o'clock in the morning and watch wrestling last night.
We get random texts like, hey, just watch like episode 412 of Nitro. I had to get ready for Starrcade 99 or whatever was coming up.
JR's podcast does a lot of, at least the last two were old school WCW events, which I haven't seen since I was a kid.
No, and I get it.
So I went back and watched them, and then I was texting these guys. I'm like, oh, man, that WCW undercard was pretty shitty. But the matches weren't bad. It was just weird people. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Like Captain Mike Rotundo.
We missed a big one, and I'm going to tell you what it was in a second.
Hold on, wait. Let me see if I can guess. All right, go ahead.
All right, so the Can-Am Connection against Orton and Morocco, like I said. Billy Jack Haynes versus Hercules. We forgot Haiti Kid, Hillbilly Jim, and Little Beaver against Bundy, Little Tokyo, and Lord Littlebrook. That's a big one.
That's the Battle of the Kings.
Harley Race
and Haku?
No, Junkyard Dog, actually. It wasn't the Battle of the Kings. It was the Bow Down match. That was it. Yeah. That was the stipulation. The Dream Team, it was Brutus and Valentine with Dino Bravo at ringside against the Rougeos.
The fuck?
That's what the match was. Piper against Adonis in the retirement
match. Brutus came out and did the haircut.
That was a strut. Remember he cut his hair on like Superstars like the week before by mistake?
How do I not? I gotta rewatch WrestleMania. That's so sad as a wrestling fan that I have to rewatch WrestleMania 3.
We almost nailed this, dude. We almost nailed this. Davis and the Hart Foundation against the Bulldogs and Tito Santana. The other one we forgot. Butch Reed and Coco Beware.
Right,
yes.
That's all right.
And then the rest was Steamboat Savage, Honky Tonk, and Jake, Sheik, and Volkoff with the Killer Bees, and Hogan and Andre.
Butch Reed. Best part of Butch Reed's career.
His blonde hair.
Do you think it's Doom?
Probably. If he would have stuck around, as the legend says, and he was really the one tapped to be the IC champ, probably that would have.
Yeah.
But then again, we would have been denied the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time.
The Honky Donkey Man?
The Honky Donkey Man.
The Honky T Donkey Man?
Didn't they do a gimmick with him where he was trying to surpass the Honky Tonk Man's record?
Yeah, the Honky Meter.
Yes. And he wound up losing it like 20 days in.
And
it was something ridiculous.
The Honky Donkey Man held the Intercontinental Championship for 365 a day.
It does go back to your original point that you can remember most of an undercard of WrestleMania 3 more than you probably can.
Yeah, like if we would have
the last one. But also, they weren't 7 hours long then.
That's a good point, too.
Well, WrestleMania 4 was the first one that cracked 4 hours, wasn't it?
That was the title tournament.
Wow. Yeah.
And a lot of those matches didn't go more than 3 or 4 minutes. A lot of them didn't.
Santino Marella.
Matter of fact, the only two I can think of off the top of my head were probably Savage and DiBiase and Jake. And Jake and Rick Rude, because they went to the time limit draw.
That was a weird tournament.
Wow. My computer's running so slow right now. I have 15 things open because I had to look up WrestleMania 3. Okay, there we go. Now we're finally caught up. Yeah, it'll come up eventually.
Should we go back to Saudi Arabia?
Yes, let's go back to Saudi Arabia. Okay, so Lars Sullivan and the Mexicals. No,
you just said go back to Saudi Arabia.
No, I mean that particular match. Who cares? Who cares about Lars?
I mean, all right.
Genuinely, who? Just one person.
Who did Braun wrestle? Lashley?
Yeah, good match. Good big man match. I like that
really?
Match. Yeah, I did.
Didn't need to be on the card, but I get it.
No.
Taker and Goldberg.
Nope.
What was that?
Well, Goldberg was knocked out, we found out, though, right?
Did he hit the post? I didn't bother to go back and watch it.
I don't fucking know.
He was bleeding before he got out there. So rumor was he was concussed before he got out there, which I think is a rumor to make him look better than he did. I think it happened in the match.
Well,
he's had that same cut on his head since 1997.
Touche.
He's had that same little thing from the pyro that just keeps opening up all the fucking time.
Do you think Goldberg and the Sandman are both hemophiliacs? Because they both have the same cut.
All right, first you're going to have to identify what a hemophiliac is.
Somebody whose blood doesn't clot, so like if they get cut, they could bleed to death, like even from like a paper cut.
Oh.
Yeah.
Paper cuts are serious, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Who was doing that in a match? Jimmy Havoc was doing that, damn it, against Teddy Hart. You watched it. You remember, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
When in the middle of the match, like Jimmy Havoc.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And he gets in between his fucking fingers.
And he was doing like his lip or. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Keep me away from paper cuts. They're nasty.
I get at least 3 paper cuts a week.
Who did the Usos wrestle?
The Revival.
And was that a good match?
I didn't watch that match. That was pre-show.
I didn't watch it.
It was kickoff. I didn't watch it.
Here's the problem with WWE and myself right now.
Okay.
It's become. Like, I'm also a little bit of a workaholic, so where I used to put down my laptop and watch because I cared has now, like, become a little bit of, like, wallpaper background television. Like, I'm just not grabbed by anything, and so, like, a pre-show is really hard for me to tune into. This whole pay-per-view was really hard for me to turn into. Even the good matches felt very predictable, and, like, I'd seen them before. Like, now Hawkins and Ryder lost to... I know, not to spoil it too early, but like to the same story we just saw in Super Showdown with Revival and Usos. You know what I mean?
Just as an aside,
Kevin left. I ruined his birthday.
He's feigning aggravation just to get another beer. You didn't need to fake it, dude.
Come on, that's fucking podcast gold, man.
Cheap pop.
Look, I have to let the people in sometimes.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Kevin's like, oh, I'm so angry. I'll get another beer. It'll make me feel better.
That was perfect. I'm living the gimmick.
Of course you are.
The major mark.
Living the dream. He's just upset that his boys lost. I get it. I can relate.
So upset.
I can relate. I was upset when Tito Santana lost the IC belt to Randy Savage.
Yeah, but did Tito Santana just get a t-shirt that says win or lose, never defeated? No.
Oh.
They didn't. So they just got a t-shirt and they lose the belts.
Whoa. You're only smoking mirrors. Whoa, there goes Cody Rhodes. You feel better?
Yeah, that actually did help.
Right, see? We're a good team.
Thank you, Tony.
Triple H, Randy Orton.
T-Donk.
Another one of these slow, plodding Triple H matches.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it, really. I enjoyed it. I know a lot of people are like...
We're waiting, Kate.
I'm just sighing. Oh, my God. When you say another one of these, it's like, how many of another one of these is going to be this entire fucking card? But, everything on the card was another one of these that I saw on Raw, by the way, not even a pay-per-view.
Triple H, Randy Orton, we haven't seen in like 10 years.
Oh, my gosh. But I've seen this version of Triple H and this version of Randy Orton for 10 years.
Randy Orton is a guilty pleasure of mine. I love watching him wrestle.
We did the Facebook topic of like guys we would like or all talent that we'd like to see AEW go after. I think Randy Orton would be a perfect fucking fit in AEW.
Of course he would.
I think he would be absolutely perfect for them. So, and I'm with you, Randy Orton. I'm high on when he won that Royal Rumble, and I think he challenged was it Bray Wyatt?
Yes,
at a Russell. I hated that, but now I'm just like, let Randy Orton win.
Oh my gosh, remember the CGI snakes?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I hated that.
So bad.
I hated that. You're right.
There were CGI vipers.
Wait, but was that when they had that house match?
No, it was WrestleMania.
Oh, like when they do the ring entrance stuff.
They had like
now.
The above view of the ring, and the ring turned into like maggots or some shit.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
to vipers.
I mean, that makes more sense than maggots.
I remember the maggots, though.
If it was a Sergeant Slaughter match, then it would probably be maggots.
Yeah, it was a bunch of pictures of, like, Don Kernoodle and some other AWA.
Colonel Mustafa.
Colonel Mustafa. Colonel De Beers. I'm thinking AWA.
I'm thinking WWE. I'm thinking 1991 Sergeant Slaughter Iraq run.
I'm thinking, like, 85, you know, when they shit the bed and let Hogan get away.
But I hated that. But now I'm just like, let Randy Orton win everything. Yeah. Just let him win everything. I don't care.
People get pissed off when he's involved in stuff, but he's great. There's
you know what it is? It's you can tell when he gives a shit about a storyline. He actually cares, fucking awesome. But when he doesn't, it's like checkout city.
Did you ever see like there's footage like when the cameras are rolling, like when Raw goes off, and like he's looking into the camera and he's talking to the camera to the guy at ringside. He's going,
I hear voices in my head.
Are we clear? Are we clear? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, okay. And he just gets up and starts walking to the back. Like,
he's awesome.
This is zero fucks given.
I love it.
It's so great.
Because he's not like.
He's not like.
How would you compare him to like Cena?
Cena got all the publicity and Randy's just been a workhorse. That's how I compare him.
And they both have. Randy when he's challenged, and John Cena when he's challenged, but like I just feel like it's the same five moves every match with both of them.
But I love it, dude. Like when he's just sitting there and he's looking at the guy, and when he whips out the power slam off the ropes,
and he has like a thing about him more than Cena does.
Does he have the cool factor without trying to be the cool factor?
Yes.
Like where John Cena, they're trying to make him cool, and it's just not.
Here's a perfect example. I think he was involved with Jinder Mahal at some point.
Jinder Mahal.
And the Singh brothers were coming after him, and he just picked one up and he just hucked him like over the table, and the guy legit landed on his head, and he looks and he's like, stuff like that always like gets him over with me. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Randy Orton's loaded with that stuff.
I'm an Orton guy now. I am.
He's awesome. Orton Miz, WrestleMania, book it.
Ooh.
What?
I like it.
Miz would have to lose, though.
T-Donk, you're scratching me right where I itch.
Yeah, you know, I know you, dude.
That's right.
I know you.
But Miz has to go over. Just like he did when he cashed in Money in the Bank.
Or just like he did when he wrestled Shane in the steel cage. Remember that one?
Son of a fucking bitch.
Yeah, and now Roman Reigns is doing the J-O-B as we get to our next match.
I called it. Yeah, you got one right. Congrats.
You and I both went 8-2.
All right, so you got 7 more right. Congrats.
I should have went Orton. You're the one that went Orton, and I went Triple H.
That's right. I'm the only one that has faith in our friend Randy Orton.
Ugh. The Battle Royal was garbage, except for the ending. That Kid Mansoor, that win, that was huge for him.
Gorilla Mansoor?
Yes. Little Mansoor. Sorry, I suck.
How many people were in it?
51.
51? Wait. What did I miss?
Oni Lorcan, I think, was like a 51st. When you tally the people that were in it, I read there were actually 51 in it.
Why would they not put that out there? Because then he won the 51.
I don't think they fucking knew. I think it just happened.
That would have been a chance to make yourself. Like, you could have just walked out from the crowd and just jumped in the ring with them, and nobody would have known.
So you sent 50 people to be in a shitty battle royale to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Love it.
Drew Gulak was in it.
Yeah.
And for a while, I didn't realize that was, what's his name? Chad Gable with his haircut.
Why wasn't it a rumble?
I don't know.
Just make it a fucking
rumble. You know
why?
Because it would have been an hour long. That's why.
Oh, well, we know how good they are about their time. It's a WrestleMania equivalent pay-per-view. You might as well make it 7 fucking hours.
And stupid Titus O'Neil, like, walking to the ring, like, he's making sure that he's not going to trip and stuff.
Makes no sense because it's a battle royal. It's not a Royal Rumble. You're supposed to walk to the ring.
And then what made them decide, like, that handful of people that actually got entrances? Like,
they do that for Battle Royals. Titus O'Neil, though, was weird, though, but I guess they had to do
the
gimmick.
They did it for the fall. Yeah. That's why.
But the thing is, though, if you're getting your own entrance for a Battle Royal, that's totally different than running into a Royal Rumble match. Yeah. So it really made no sense.
It was dumb.
And I feel like an hour-long Royal Rumble feels shorter than that crap.
I watched...
time goes faster when you're watching
Like
Royal
I just
Rumble.
Said, I watched the one from last year, 2018, last night. I watched it. It went by like that. It was awesome. The Saudi Arabia Royal Rumble with that Braun Strowman one.
Yeah.
It was just fun for me to watch because I love entrances. People shit on like... I love entrances.
Wasn't it only a minute in between for that one?
Oh, it was probably like 30 seconds for a lot of them. Dude, that's what you do. I've done my share of entrances for Royal Rumble.
Kevin dropping names.
How am I dropping names? What name did I just drop?
I don't know.
But I've done it. And you don't, there's no time. There's circumstance and there's situations where you're like, all right, I'm playing you out now, go out. Like, that's just what it is. Like, you don't want dead space in that match. At
no,
all.
I get it.
And I've done that. I'm like, I'll be like, Pat, it's only been like 15 seconds. I'm playing this guy out. He's like, go ahead.
There's the name drop, by the way.
Well, who else would it have been?
I'm just saying.
Yo, I'll name drop right the fuck now who I've sat next to back there.
T-Donk.
Jesus.
T-Donk.
Huge name drop.
That's right. T-Donk.
Terrible.
Here's my thing with Saudi Arabia, other than how terrible it actually was in addition. They now have to defend the belt on every one of these, right? And there's people who are going to refuse to go for moral reasons. And there's people, Aleister Black can never go.
Sami
because
Zayn
of
either.
His tattoo. Sami Zayn. So if any
Wait,
of them
what?
Hold...
What's the Aleister Black thing?
He's got like cross tattoos or something on his arms. It was the same thing.
No, it was, he has like a green monster tattoo that's like a mythical figure that's about like women's rights, basically. Like about equal rights, not even women's rights. And he can't wrestle with it. So here's my thing. If you're doing this for the next fucking decade and they have the belts around this time, you know they're going to drop before this pay-per-view because they have to defend the belt over
there.
Or
you just don't send them.
Or they just don't go. I mean...
Well, that was the thing, though. They want the belt defended at these... Like, Saudi Arabia wants the belt defended at these pay-per-views. So...
Well...
In case it wasn't predictable enough, now we have, like...
Can defend his big green belt.
Yeah, where was that belt?
It's probably in Vince's office.
Ah, let me keep this
also,
one.
Also, this like we're pushing boundaries crap. Can we just call it a money grab for what it is? Because they pushed no boundaries.
Well, they had Alexa and Natty there, and then at the last minute, the government was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Allegedly. Right. I mean, that was the story.
So
Finn Balor also posed with his inclusion shirt in front of the empty stadium or inside the empty stadium.
With no one there. Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I don't know enough about Saudi Arabia politics to like get into all that stuff. I just know like, but like, I know Sami Zayn is Jewish, correct?
Syrian.
Yes, that's what it is. Okay, so I thought that.
Well, he's Muslim, isn't he?
I don't know what he is.
I thought that's what they said.
But I also thought that Jewish people weren't appreciated in Saudi Arabia.
You know more than I do because I really don't.
Which is weird because and then like why like Goldberg. Is there, and the Goldberg is a Jewish legend.
But Goldberg is money, so they don't give a shit. That's
again. I could be way off about if they even care about.
But it's just like this notion, and not to be like so down on wrestling by any means. But like, if Alexa Bliss and Natty fought, do you really think like women's rights?
No,
it's going to be affected.
No,
in
but
any way?
They
like,
would.
The PR grab around it is so gross to me. Like, just have the event because I think it's just like. It's almost insulting to them at that point, isn't it? Isn't it kind of insulting to both sides?
Well, where was the Alexa Bliss Sasha Banks match? Was that in UAE? They had a singles match somewhere for the first time ever. Was it Abu Dhabi?
I think it was Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And they had to wear like all black.
They actually made action figures for them, which are coming out soon.
Whoa.
In that gear that's completely
Sasha's
covered.
Sasha's gonna come out.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Well, they own her, right? They own her name. Anyway.
She's been filming stuff for the video game lately, so.
Nah. She's a wham-wham.
All right, so.
I want to be champs, the iconic.
If you had to grade the show.
Saudi Arabia, D-.
Wow.
Yeah, D-. It was a lot of bad. That
Kate?
Did not shine the good.
I'll give it. And I thought I would have come in more harsh than you. I'd give it like a D.
Okay.
Wow.
You can't get much harsher than a D minus. Kev? Kev's going to give it like a solid B minus, C plus.
No, I was C plus.
There you go.
C plus, B minus.
I know you.
Yeah,
I know you.
Because, I thought Seth Baron Corbin was good. I thought Bobby Lashley Strowman was good. I love Battle Royals, so I'm a mark for that. I thought that Finn Andrade was amazing. I thought Kofi Dolph Ziggler was great. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. The only thing that really sucked about it was Shane going over Roman and the Goldberg Taker match to me.
That it was wildly predictable and that it was marketed wrong and that no belt switched. Right, not a single one.
See, listen, you go into a pay-per-view not knowing whether or not a belt is going to get switched anyway. So if...
None. A WrestleMania equivalent pay-per-view.
That's
and
fine
none.
With me. That's fine. That... To me, that makes it a legit competition. Just because it's a big pay-per-view and you expect the title change and they don't give it to you doesn't necessarily make it a bad show.
That Mansoor moment was top-notch for that country, though.
I mean, that was a feel-good moment. Gorilla Mansoor does nothing for me.
It a WrestleMania moment?
For him, it was.
I think you're really diving way too deep into this whole WrestleMania equivalent.
No, but she's got a point. Though.
She does have a point.
If it's shoved down my throat for like two fucking months, at least get in the ballpark. And the best we can do is like a C plus.
But the problem is, like, to us, it doesn't have to be. But they have to sell it to Saudi Arabia that it's a big deal.
When you heard that Goldberg Undertaker was going to be the main event, immediately you should have been like, "Oh, this isn't WrestleMania."
Oh, I know that, but I'm saying don't try and sell that to me.
First time ever.
A guy who could never wrestle versus a guy who used to wrestle.
I'd actually rather have that match on WrestleMania. Am I right? I would rather have that like fifth on the card on WrestleMania.
Nope, that's a pre-show.
So that's a Undertaker, yeah. Goldberg's a pre-show.
Yeah, because Hawkins and Ryder need a spot on the main show.
That's a very good point.
There you go. I told you I'm looking out for you.
The next year in Saudi Arabia, what they should do is Hawkins and Ryder versus Goldberg and Undertaker.
Let Hawkins and Ryder win
for
the Battle Royal.
Title.
For the titles.
For all the belts.
For everything.
Vince Russo collects all the belts and the winner takes all.
And
the
Santino Marella is the special guest referee.
Don't kill the Milan Miracle, dude. I love that. I marked out hard when he won the title.
The greatest intercontinental champion of all the time.
When he won that from Umanga, that was awesome.
Umanga?
Yeah.
That's what William Regal called him.
Of course it
Umanga.
Is.
Umanga.
Umanga.
R.I.P. Umanga.
All I ever think of,
it's like Topanga's cousin from Boy Meets World.
The haircut match when Trump and McMahon were involved, Vince, and he's going,
"Oh, okay, Vince.
This is my guy, this big strong black man."
Oh my god.
And then I'm going to be the ECW champion.
So great. It was so great. Vince wearing the ECW belt was an abomination more than anybody else winning any other championship.
What was the bigger abomination, the belt or the Scully?
That was it. He came out with the do-rag.
With the do-rag, yeah.
With the black like sweatpants and the oversized sweatshirt, and he did the strut.
Find me in the club.
It was awful.
Bottle full of bub.
It was awful.
I'm into having sex, not into making love. Huh?
All right. So do you want to do the recap real quick before we move on to Dominion? We'll do the
Dominican Republic.
Actually, oh man, my shit is so slow tonight. It's time for the Shining Wizards pay-per-view pick extravaganza thing.
Yeah.
I know the volume's probably going to just explode now. Everything is so slow here tonight. I don't know why. Well, this is just a quick note because we just went over the card, but this is the recap.
Wait, no, are we doing?
No, we're just doing
Super Showdown.
We're just doing Super Showdown. It's going to be real quick. So Kevin and I actually tied for the show. We both went 8-2. Matt took a big shit on his lifestyle. He went 5-5. The only one that I missed was Triple H in the Rumble. You missed Roman Reigns in the Rumble. And Matt fucking lost a whole buttload of
stuff.
Well,
to be fair, my guy that I picked wasn't even in the Rumble.
Matt Riddle?
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as we know, Mansoor wasn't in the Rumble until that day.
Gorilla Mansoor is in a Rumble.
And that was when I told you guys he's probably going to wind up winning. And then was like, well,
that was in the old
text key. So, all right, enough of the music. That's an abrupt cut because we got to do New Japan yet, and then we'll get to the tallies after New Japan. You watched all of Dominion? You watched most of Dominion?
Watched the whole show, brother.
What'd you think?
Loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty off the chart. I didn't watch the whole thing. I caught the important stuff that I really wanted to, and I loved every minute of it.
It was, without a doubt, you had a couple Match of the Year candidates, right, on that show.
Absolutely.
Like, to me, the Match of the Year going into that show was AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, and Will Ospreay and Dragon. What was it? Dragon Lee.
Yes.
Yeah. Is to me now the match of the year so far.
Really?
We got along. Oh, without a doubt.
Wow.
And before that was AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, which was a tremendous match. So I loved everything about the show. It's weird, though, because we're not as – like, you try to watch – like, I watched the best of the Super Juniors previous to that, so I tried to – watch that before I watch Dominion, just so I can kind of get a feel of where they're going. But then I realized that one had absolutely nothing to do with the other.
Yeah.
Like, the best of the Super Junior final had no bearing on the booking for Dominion.
You don't think?
I don't. Because you had Jay White, who was put over huge on the best of the Super Junior show, and then he loses in a six-man. Because
Jay White's a fucking loser.
So it was just weird to me. And once I finally do get into watching New Japan, like, religiously, which I really plan on doing, I'll be able to maybe hopefully wrap my mind around their booking. But it's still a little weird to me. It's still a little off.
I will say there's no other promotion that I can think of that they could put. I saw that there were two six-mans back-to-back, and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. They were, like, completely different types of matches. I can't think of another promotion that if they did that to me, I'd be like pretty excited about both matches. I thought that was really cool.
And that's the best thing about a wrestling show. If you go to an indie show or if you watch a New Japan show or anything, when each match offers you something different and you're not expecting, like, you might be expecting more of the same, but when they give you a completely different style of match, that's a great fucking wrestling show.
Yeah.
And so that's what I love about certain indie companies that do it. And that's why I loved New Japan, because each match brought something different to the table. Yeah, you get your falsies and this and that, which is fine. Listen, I don't care about falsies as long as you fucking sell. Like, I don't care if you kick out of 8 million finishers.
I love falsies.
There you go.
I Kate buy DeGree. Into every single one. Yeah.
I couldn't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, I'm winning this. I'm winning this match. I predicted this right because he hit his finisher. Done. 1-2. Oh, kick out.
Speaking of finishers, right. Moxley with the new one.
What was his?
The Hammer DDT, right?
Yeah, it's
because
he hit
the Dirty Deeds and then he kicked out.
Yeah,
and then I think I wrote that down.
Was it more of a
and they called it the, what was it, the Death Rider?
Yes.
he's the Death Rider.
Yeah, he's the Death Rider. But didn't they call the move that too?
I think
probably.
Or did I make that up?
Well, maybe they just like said Death Rider.
Yeah, like did 400 that. And times. I was probably like, yes, Death Rider.
Hey, who was the lead on commentary?
Kevin Kelly.
It was Kevin Kelly. Who was the British guy?
That I don't know. I think he's Australian actually.
Oh well, okay.
Gino
Sorry.
Something.
Gino Morella.
Gino Gatz. Gorilla Mansoor.
That's what I was going to. Good thing you picked up on that. Yeah. I like that.
Lot of mixed reactions to Jericho Okada.
Finish?
Yeah.
It's weird seeing like a roll-up twisty-do, you know, finish like that. It really is. Although I think one of the undercard matches, the Liger tag team match ended that way. It was like a hook.
Yeah.
And Zack Sabre was trying to get in the ring.
Suzuki Gun, right?
Yes.
Yeah, against Liger and Lashi or fucking...
Liger and Hashi.
Hashi.
Yoshihashi.
Yoshihashi, yeah.
That's it. I'm getting there.
We're trying. Listen, you're the New Japan expert.
I'm the expert. Trust me, I should have won like two more matches on this thing. Like I picked one of them with my heart. There's going to be big things in Kota Ibushi's future. Matt and I were talking
big
about
time.
It. There's no doubt in my mind.
WWE?
No. He's going to win that title come January.
The IWGP?
Yes.
See, here's
Wrestle Kingdom has Ibushi on top, and he's going to win that thing. Which is why, when I made my pick, I didn't think they would take the IC belt off him already. You know, it's only June. You would think that they would have stretched it out maybe just a little bit more with Naito before they bumped him up. I have no problem with them losing. It was a great match. I just thought it was kind of quick. They've been doing that a lot with their titles lately, too,
well,
which I'm very surprised.
They're very title change happy or they're not. Or, like, this was kind of right down the middle of the road, right?
Well, I think they said that never open weight title has changed, like, 9 times in the past 12 months.
The one that Ishii won, right?
Yes!
Yeah.
It's crazy.
8 times in 12 months or something
crazy.
Like that.
Crazy.
So, to me, the way, in my head, the way I see it is that Okada wins because Jay White is still... And I could be way off.
I hope so, because
Jay White. But Jay White, I still think, is in the hunt. Yeah. So I think your next main event, I think your next match is Okada Jay White, no?
Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know.
Any thoughts?
Well, because
I can see that. I don't know if it's like a definite, but yeah, who else, I guess, really?
And Jericho's moving on to Tanahashi. Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, didn't Tanahashi keep him from beating up Okada after the match?
Yeah.
So Tanahashi.
I loved that match. I feel like I haven't gotten to see Jericho tell that story a lot. Like, I thought that was really cool because he's not usually like a size guy. And I feel like in this match, he was kind of like a size guy. Like, he was really brutal and stuff.
Well, he's bulked up a little bit, too.
He has. But it's also unique to the promotion. Like, there's no Braun Strowman's in this promotion, right? So it's like, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was something that
Ishii
we hadn't seen from
Ishii is probably the closest
Jericho.
Thing, right?
But yeah.
But everything he does, Jericho, when he's like, ha, ha, ha. Everything he does, ha, ha. It's like watching a women's tennis match. Where it's like he's constantly screaming. I don't know. I agree with you. I think the Will Ospreay match was awesome.
Unbelievable.
The thing I like about Ospreay
is my new favorite wrestler, by the way.
He
of all the times.
He does that back hook kick and he nailed it like four times and it was perfect. I'm like, where does that even come from?
He's very physical but still very like acrobatic in a lot of ways. Like there's something really cool about that
maybe graceful.
Yeah, like
very graceful.
Very graceful.
Like look, he made a name for himself a couple years ago, that match with Ricochet. But
yeah,
that was a whole, but that was a whole lot of jump and flip and whatnot. You can tell how far he's come since that match.
Oh, for sure.
Like it's insane what he's doing right now.
And now he's moving to Japan. He announced
everything he does like works perfectly. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's really well rounded.
Naito knows how to work a crowd. That guy is an animal.
He's awesome.
He's an animal.
He's a storyteller.
And Ibushi,
sure.
I don't know how he didn't break his neck. I don't know how he didn't break his neck on the apron on that fucking back suplex. Yeah. That was sick. But overall, great card. Anything else stand out to you guys? I feel like we spent
Shingo. I love fucking Shingo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shingo's one of my favorite performers now. And Matt mentioned, go watch his Dragon Gate stuff, because apparently he ruled the roost, I guess, for lack
ruled
of a better term.
I like that.
And in Dragon Gate.
I like that.
I thought Guerrillas of Destiny was boring, but I thought that it was in the right place on the card to be boring.
Yeah.
That was a weird match,
right?
Yeah, like that was... That was the most storytelling-y, like the most gimmicky, I should say, I guess, out of everything that was there. But it was like, I felt like I could forgive it because the rest of the card was so great.
It would have been nice if Los Ingobernables de la Japón won. That would have been good. That was my pick.
Yeah, mine too.
Terrible.
Well, again, because the way they had them booked on Super Juniors.
Don't sleep on Dragon Lee either. Dragon Lee.
Well, he's an ROH guy too, right?
Yeah.
And a MLW guy.
Maybe.
I know he's a recovery. I know he's on the Best in the World pay-per-view. I know he's got a match there.
I just feel like we spent so much time talking about a less than stellar pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia, and we should have been spending time on this. But
we talked about
the Knox more. I mean, that was like a big deal that happened. I think it was cool to see. I think he brought a very Western style of wrestling. But something very different than WWE to Japan. I thought that was cool. You don't see like a lot of finger biting in New Japan. And like, I thought that was awesome. Like, I felt like he was the Jon Mox of pre-WWE days, which
and
was
it's
pretty sick.
Weird seeing him in tights. It's really weird not seeing him in like.
You know what? I watched Super Juniors. I thought it was weird. Then I watched this show. I was like, all right, business as usual.
No,
it was fine for me. But the thing is, though. Like, I've never been a big Juice Robinson guy.
That was his best match, I think, I've seen.
It was super fun, that match at Best of
Super
Juniors.
But at least he looks different. Like, so many guys are just wearing black now in New Japan. You notice that? There's not a lot of color in New Japan tights. There's really not. I wore quite a few matches where dudes were wearing all black.
I'd have to go back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't notice that, but now that you say that, I'm
like, you look at Dragon Lee and Zack Sabre Jr., yeah, like, and some of the upper guys. But a lot of those, like, middle guys, like the Guerrillas of Destiny were wearing all black. Like
Jay White wears black.
The Never Openweight guys were wearing black. You know what I'm saying? Like
Ishii wears black.
There's an awful lot of black tights on the show. And then Moxley comes out wearing, like, the old school, you know, the Triple H trunks with the Steve Austin boots. You know what I'm saying?
Did he have boots on? I thought he had wrestling shoes on.
Did he? Maybe they were low. Maybe I'm mistaking him for Goldberg boots. I don't know.
I could be. Maybe he wore them for Dominion. And I remember he definitely wore wrestling shoes for his match with Juice. But I mean, Juice cut his hair. He cut off the locks.
Yeah.
Which
was weird.
Which was also weird to me. Like, again, this is just me not understanding New Japan and how they operate. But, like, you have Moxley.
Well, you're not the expert.
Yeah.
That's just T-Donk. That's T-Donk. T-Donk is the expert.
Ask me. I know.
All right, so Moxley comes in, this huge deal, wins the United States Championship against Juice. Now
an undeserved title shot, by the way.
Oh, that's right, because he's never been there before.
Never been there before.
But then he comes in, and he wins, and now he's opening up against
I guess, a young lion.
Yeah.
And well, then Juice Robinson is in a six man.
Like, was this match booked before that?
I don't know.
Like, that's the weird thing.
I don't know. Does Prince of Pro still listen?
Maybe. Probably.
Prince of Pro, our stat guy.
Oh, a couple other things. Kenta came back.
Oh, that was huge. Good
call.
Threw
his hat into the G1.
You know what's so funny? When Shibata came out, I was like, kind of like, at this point, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of like watching while I was like kind of dozing off. And I heard this crazy music and people going nuts. I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's Kenta, but it was Shibata. And then he points at it, and it is Kenta.
Whoa.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it was awesome. And he's going to enter the G1 along with Moxley and...
Everybody's in the G1.
G6.
I got nothing else to say to that.
Should we talk more about the Zack Sabre Jr.? I thought them losing was an upset. A little bit.
You think so?
A little bit. I think maybe that was to set up a title challenge, possibly.
Liger's on his farewell tour.
Yeah.
I can't... Like, even New Japan's got to be smart about that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but then again, I went 5-4, so what do I know?
Everyone was talking shit to Liger after... Like, I think they're setting up a whole lot of matches, because everyone was trash-talking about Liger when he came out on commentary.
Maybe they are. Maybe... Is Liger in the G1?
G6?
Whatever.
Is it the G6?
Is it G6?
No, it's a
G1.
Then what is the G6?
It's just
it's a rap song.
It's a bad pop.
Why would
music
I know that?
I don't know.
I don't listen to the raps.
The hip hops? The hip
hops? You know,
hops?
Biggie got his own street now in Brooklyn.
Is it Big E
Boulevard.
Avenue?
Yes, oh. It's Big E Boulevard.
Avenue E?
He's not coming back from the dead, but there's another Big E coming back from the dead. He's wrestling tonight on SmackDown.
Big E's back?
I'm sure he's going to be turning on Kofi. You watch for it.
Are you sure Big E's back?
Big E's being touted tonight for a six-man match. So I'm assuming
what,
his
the New Day
is going to
against...
be the New Day. With the Revival and
Ziggles?
Somebody? I don't know.
It's got to be Ziggles.
Whatever. Whatever. I shan't be watching it, so whatever.
No, but Big E should turn.
He's going to.
Because he has the history with Ziggles.
Do you think that's what's going to happen?
Maybe. At least to start it.
Oh, so we're going to have like...
I don't want to
like,
recall that terrible angle.
Xavier and Big E in opposite corners. Ugh.
Well, I mean...
That'll put butts in the seats.
It makes... I mean, they're already doing the match at Stomping Grounds with Ziggler and Kofi.
You don't
which
know,
I think
how,
is that a cage
did you
match?
You see the Stomping Ground logo, by the way?
It's a boot!
It was, like, insulting to my eyes.
It's a big old
Come
boot.
Come on.
I'm just so glad there was not a pay-per-view this week, because I needed a break from calling pay-per-views.
I love
been calling
it.
Pay-per-views for, like, the past month.
There are a lot of pay-per-views.
Let's get to the leaderboard,
Speaking
Tony.
Of pay-per-views.
Let's get to the leaderboard.
It's time, the part two, some nonsense or other. Okay, so in terms of New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion, Kevin and I tied again. We both went a respectable but disappointing 5-4. And Matt won the day with a 6-3, which means he's still a fucking loser. Because as the standings are right now, Kevin is 40 wins over 500 at 77-37. I'm two behind at 75-39. And Matt is an abysmal 5 back at 72-42.
Win or lose, I'm never defeated.
Is that why he's really not here today?
He's
he
probably upset. Yeah, probably.
Wait, we had a great showing in New Japan.
That's true.
But I wouldn't say
not great, but I mean
respectable.
6-3 and 5-4 is basically the same thing.
He shit the bed on a throwaway WWE pay per view, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's rough.
Yeah, that's bad.
That was rough. Sorry, Matt.
Hold on, I'm gonna go through
not
his picks again.
Not as rough as watching the pay per view, though.
Usos, Lars, Triple H, Finn, Braun, Roman, Corbin, Kofi, Brock. The no contest thing was weird. He went with a no contest.
Because he thought they were going to do a tag match sort of thing, which probably would have been smart.
Which is exactly why you wouldn't predict it. That would have been entertainment.
Well, he lost.
but then that's not a no contest if the match doesn't happen. That's just, you know, that's why it was weird to me.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, it is whatever.
What a dope.
But I am 77-37, a staunch 40-game above 500 record right now.
Look, the only thing I have to do is beat Matt by one match. That's all I have to do.
Why?
Because then Matt will be in last place.
Oh, and that's what matters? But I still get to pick both of you to do something if I win?
No.
It's just the loser?
It's the loser, yeah.
It's just the fucking loser?
Yep, which Matt will be.
I thought the winner picked something for the two losers to do.
No, it's the person that's in last has to get something done to them by the other two. Not done to them, but picked for
But doesn't
them.
The winner get the pick?
We get to choose. I mean, I don't think
Wait, I didn't get into this jointly. Like,
All right, you get to pick, okay? I'll let you pick.
Well, no, if I win. It's a,
if you win.
We got a long way
now
to go.
Now you're talking shit. You're not going
to
win.
No, I'm just saying. Trying to be nice here.
Well, speaking of talking, we'll be talking to Selena De La Renta. She is the empresario of Promociones Dorado. She's wreaking havoc all through MLW. But Kevin, as we say each and every week.
Back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday, everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message.
Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Because we're up all night.
Too sweet. No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. We'll see you there.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
That's right, that song is for everybody. That's Roddy Piper off of the wrestling album. It's an original, it's an oldie but a goodie to all you youngins out there. And to everybody else out there, it's time to thank our Patreon producers. That's right, folks, you can be a Patreon producer as well for as little as a dollar. That's right. You get to be in the inner circle of the Shining Wizards. You get mentioned every week. If you donate more than a dollar, we got all kinds of goodies. My son and I actually did a watch-along with that 50-man battle royal from Saudi Arabia. Oh, it was a doozy. Make sure you sign up. Check that stuff out. You get all kinds of bonus stuff. You get priority questions, watch-alongs, all the bonuses. And, Kate, what does it start at?
Just $1.
That's right. We want to thank those who support us right now. We're going to start off, of course, with the queen of the Shining Wizards, Miss Kathy Hummer, Cindy Ardone, Dan and Anthony Russinello, the AOP of the SWP. Does that make sense? Yes, Dark Helmet himself, Ryan Arthur, Manny Crozzo, Mr. Croctaville from across the pond in Germany, Kate the Great, of course.
Gross.
Some guy named Matt Garifo. I don't know if he's related to Kevin. I don't think you pronounce the name the same way. And, of course, the Seans, Sean Toe and Sean Coelho, Mike Martinelli, and some guy named Brett Ciminello. That's Italian. It should be Ciminello, but he probably says Ciminello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
And you got Brett right, though, not Bert.
It's definitely not Bert. Hey, Bert. And, of course, William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands.
Now, we also got a text from Matt earlier
today. You
know
what I mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. I'm just trying to get things in. Because we have Selena De La Renta calling in a few minutes.
That's right.
So Matt sends me a text, and he wants us to talk about Eddie's Boys LLC.
Kevin, I like it.
Eddie's Boys LLC should be Kevin's Boys, because that's what I am. I want to be one of Kevin's Boys.
Who doesn't?
You do good impressions, don't you? Can you whip out a Bray Wyatt Happy Funhouse impression? That'd probably be easy. I can't imagine that it'd be any different than a wacky radio DJ impression, no?
Yowie wowie!
There you go. All right, so tell us about Eddie's Boys. Be as discreet as possible, and go.
They have beer.
Watch it be like an AA group.
Yowie wowie, folks. They won't kill rambling rabbits down at Eddie's Boys LLC. Yowie wowie. They're just going to have a beer drinking fun time.
You idiots.
Yowie wowie. Eddie's Boys LLC.
Yeah, apparently we'll hear more about Eddie's Boys next week. Matt asked that dude.
We can actually do a proper commercial for them.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, listen, it's a Matt thing, so we'll let him figure that out.
Yowie wowie.
Folks, like I said, you want to join us, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Join in all the fun. As you can tell, it's a hootenanny of a good time.
That's right.
Selena De La Renta will be calling in a few minutes. You know what?
Why did you say it like that?
You know why?
I'm in Spain.
I'll explain it, because there's certain things about dialects, accents. They're just catchy and cool.
That actually is cool. That's You're right.
Right?
You're not wrong about that.
So, you know, sometimes when you start hearing it, you know, it's like George Carlin used to say, if you put never mind. I don't want to get into it, because then I get accused of being a racist. And we don't want that on the show. Selena De La Renta calling in. And
you're on fire, Tony.
Well, yes, I am.
He can be a dick.
That's right.
You know who that is?
Who, Matt?
No, the dick. That's Baby Brown Baby.
Wait, play that again.
He can be a dick.
That's Awesome Kong talking about Bully Ray. I was trying to play
that. Was Awesome Kong?
Yes, I was
that
trying to.
That sounded like a teenage boy. Let's play that again.
I was trying to play it last week when we were talking about Bully Ray. Of course, now it's not going to work. Oh, this computer. Well, it'll eventually come up.
He can be a dick.
Hopefully right in the middle of the interview.
Yeah, well, that's exactly when it's going to happen.
That doesn't sound like Awesome Kong at all.
No, it was her. She was doing one of those...
Are you sure that wasn't after her fight with Scott D'Amore?
No, she was doing...
Is that who it was with?
Did she fight with Scott?
In TNA?
She definitely fought with Bubba the Love Sponge.
That's what it was. Sorry, Scott. Friend of the show, Scott D'Amore. How's that for your name drop?
Where was I going? No, she did one of those interviews with the guy that does the Shoot Interview series. What the hell's his name?
Shoot Interview Steve.
Yes, it was him.
That's right.
You know what I'm talking about. Sean Oliver.
Sean Oliver?
They were doing the Who's a Dick in Wrestling. I'm sure you've seen those.
Oh, yeah.
So Bully Ray comes up and she's like, he could be a dick.
That's a funny drop, actually.
That's awesome.
Which he kind of was last week. Oh, Taya Valkyrie had some nonsense happening with her.
I don't know what to think of that. Because I haven't divin into that a whole lot yet. But apparently people are defending both sides.
Did you see what happened, Kate? Maybe.
No, I was too busy trying to avoid Jim Cornette this week.
God damn! Get over here, Kate, motherfucker! Where's my cheeseburger?
Double cheese, double onion.
You see, you can't help but do that.
What, the impressions?
You can't help but do Bruce Pritchard's Jim Cornette.
I know, it's tough.
Because it's hilarious.
It's tough.
It's true.
They had apparently there might be some beef because Pritchard did an ass...
Double beef, double cheese,
double onion,
double onion, double mayo.
They did a Ask Me Anything with Bruce Pritchard on his podcast.
I listened to that.
And somebody asked him about Cornette hating him or having an issue with him.
Yeah, so I guess they do have double beef.
Well, he's like, look, I don't know what Cornette's issue is. He's like, I have no problem with the guy. I'm not going to disparage him. I like the guy. And
dude, it's so weird. Like,
it is.
Like now with like JR, Pritchard, Cornette, Russo, Bischoff. If I think I already said
it. Did you hear JR do his Cornette impression? Yes, he did. It was amazing. We need more JR impressions. Yeah, but there seems to be this I love or I hate Conrad podcast. It's really weird.
I'm kind of a big Conrad guy. I wasn't at first. His voice kind of annoyed me, but he knows his stuff and he puts the work in. So
why? Because he's from Alabama. He annoys you.
I don't know why he annoyed me. I'm going back years when he first started doing these shows.
You know, he's been doing that mortgage guy thing for a long time in Alabama. And that's how he's made, you know, all his money. So he used to do these commercials, I guess, for local broadcast. And there's like a whole website of a whole page on YouTube.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
A whole page of them on YouTube, right? And there's one where he's standing. He's got the screen behind him. And in the middle of talking, he just passes out.
For real?
Yes, for real. It's the weirdest thing. Like, every other one, he's like, hey, it's Conrad. You need a mortgage, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And it goes off without a hitch. But this one, he's just standing there. And in the middle of a sentence, he just collapses on the floor.
And then someone just goes, fuck it.
No, it just keeps rolling. That's the weird thing about it. It's really weird.
Is it weirder than when, like, the SummerSlam sign, like, fell in the back of the Rick Rude promo?
And you know that was a gag reel, right? Like, that was taped before the show, and that was the one that wasn't supposed to air, but they ran the wrong one.
Did you ever see the video where I think it's like Edge and Eddie Guerrero, or Edge and John Cena, and Rey Mysterio is doing pull-ups or something on the back?
And it pulls the shelf.
And he just falls down.
There's another famous one, too, where Batista's like warming up and getting ready to walk to the ring, and some young guy walks out in front of him, and he does the machine gun fire thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then
he
runs, and two more guys chase after him. It's like something out of the Keystone Cops. God, it was great.
I love shit like that. That shit makes me laugh. That shit pops me.
Yeah, they should do that more often.
All right, so we are on hold right now. We are waiting for Selena De La Renta.
On hold?
MLW. I don't know why I said that, Tony. Sometimes shit just comes out.
Oh, believe me, I put my foot in my mouth quite a bit already since after the commercial break. Right.
Well, you're wearing socks today, so kudos,
Well,
pal.
I did this for you.
Thank you.
Kevin's got a thing against bare feet. I didn't want to tell you because I want to see if it creeps him out.
No. I mean, your bare feet creep me out.
I don't have bare feet. I have nice feet. You want me to take them off?
These are not fins.
We could talk MLW. Fusion from this past week. Richard Holiday actually wrestled, one of your favorites.
Yeah, love Richard Holiday.
Wrestled a kid named Cotto Brazil.
Yeah, Cotto. Yeah.
You know Cotto?
He's been around.
He's pretty talented. Pretty small.
He's been around the way.
Now, Richard Holiday's what, like 6'4", 6'5"? He's a big dude. Like, you met him, right? He's tall. All right. I'm used to seeing him, like, you see him next to MJF, so he probably looks taller than what he is, but he's a legit 6'4".
No, he's definitely tall. I just don't, I definitely met him, I just don't remember where.
At Matt's apartment, maybe?
No, we had him on the phone.
I thought he came in.
No,
for
we
that.
Had Stan Styles on the.
I'm
the
not confusing Stan
we had
Styles.
We had Shake Weight Guy.
But you had MJF.
With Justin Credible. We had MJF and Justin Credible on the same show.
No, but didn't you have MJF in Matt's apartment?
No, we had Joey Janela in Matt's apartment with Giancarlo.
No, but I thought you guys had MJF over.
No, we never.
Really?
Out of context, that sounds very threatening.
We had Sizzling Sand Styles in studio. We had Richard Holiday on the phone.
During the same show?
The same show.
Oh, wow. And, I suck at this.
And we had MJF on the phone also at Matt's. And that was also with the Just Incredible phone interview.
Oh.
And we had Joey Janela at Matt's with Giancarlo.
Hey, quick aside, did Just Incredible's documentary come out yet, or are they still doing posts on that?
That's a good question. He's very active now back in the social media, so
I
hopefully...
I just hope he's got his shit together.
That's exactly what it is. It seems like it, but, you know, social media, who the fuck knows?
Yeah, someone else could be running the accounts for all you know?
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
It's also tough, too, because, like, every time it seems like he's getting better, he just kind of falls behind, you know? It's tough. We like Justin.
He's been one of our friends since day one, basically. Yeah. Day one-ish.
We got to start calling, what's his name again? Scotty Riggs. See what's happening with him. It's been a while.
See if he can get us Jim Powers.
That would have been the smart thing to do, but we don't think that far ahead. Ace Austin, you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Kid's got a world of talent. He had a match with Airwolf.
Yep, he's awesome. He's back and forth with MLW and Impact and all around the place. I think he does some stuff with CZW. And
see, I gotta start getting bet back into Impact. I don't know why I fell out of it.
Because it's not on TV.
Yeah, but MLW is not on TV, and I've been watching it every week.
But you can't find Impact like you can find MLW. MLW puts their show up on YouTube like the Monday.
You know what? You know, it's funny you mention that, because even when you go to the Impact Twitch channel, it's just streaming everything else. Like, it's not airing its current show, like, you know, which is fine. Like, the stuff they're showing, like, I can get into because, like, they mostly show, like, best of.
Right.
Like, you know? If you're not going to make your program accessible and it's already such an oversaturated space.
Yeah.
Well, like, I think they
now
have...
I'll go watch Impact because WWE sucks. So, I'm not entertained by it, so I'll go more actively seek things out. But, like, if you're not going to make it accessible when there's already so many other options and so many hours of wrestling to watch elsewhere, that's a tough gig.
Well, I think Impact has, like, exclusive, like, contracts with certain companies where they can't just air...
That makes sense.
...the latest episode. They can air it, like, live maybe when it airs, but then they can't have it on demand because they have contracts with these international companies, which... You know, why would they watch that if they could just go online and watch it? Because they still have exclusive deals overseas and stuff like that. And from what I just read recently, that there might be a new home for Impact on TV. So, and they may be moving from Pursuit to something better.
Hope so.
I hope so, too.
They do need that TV exposure because they got a world of talent there right
now. They do.
They really do.
How about our boy...
KM?
Yeah.
Getting into it with Scott D'Amore?
Oofa.
That kind of like came up and then disappeared real quick. Did you see this?
Yes, yeah.
What do you think?
I mean,
do you know, are you familiar with Kevin Matthews?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, like he's got a penchant for just, you know, fucking, I'm going to say it.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
So that's why it kind of did, like, it surprised me because we haven't heard from him in a while, but it didn't surprise me, and the conversation, the way it played out, 100%, I absolutely believe that's the way it went down.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Listen, I'm a KM guy. Everyone knows that. So I'll always have his back. And he doesn't have any reason to lie about shit. Because, like, he's been in the business for 17 years. He's been under developmental and released. He's been in TNA, been released. Very successful with the company that he's with now. So I believe everything that he's saying is true. I believe that these contracts were for, like, $300 a spot. I believe that.
That's possible, sure.
And I believe that he, in what he says about piggybacking off of independent companies, is convenient for Impact.
I mean, it's the way, like, it's going to save you money in the long run. You use local talent. You get local access. You got guys that already, it's kind of like when WWE used to work with all the local promoters to get into buildings. You know, it's the same shit.
Yeah. But I guess Scott D'Amore thought they were just messing around, and then he got kind of hot at Kevin. So, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I haven't talked to Kevin about it, so I don't know. Nor will I even bring it up, because it's just weird.
No, it is. Yeah. It is. But, look, Impact has been doing great things. It sucks that they're not on regular TV.
And agreed.
Like you said, I just hope that something comes back, you know?
David Adams did some Impact work.
Yeah.
Former guest pal David Adams.
Pal, friend of the show.
Did you have a super, like, a fallout with him?
No.
A former friend.
No, but I mean, it's the wrestling business. You know how it is. Yeah. You know, like, shit, we've been friends.
It's very weird.
Yeah, like people get pissed off and then they don't talk and then they're friends again. And then it's like, water under the bridge, or the quote unquote learning experience. You know what I'm saying?
It's 100% what it is.
Like, I'm better than I think I am. Like, you know, all that wrestling nonsense, you know? I mean, we're seeing that with Leo Rush now.
They are who we thought they were.
He's going back. Look, I had the privilege of calling a Leo Rush match.
Oh, boy.
When he was first
up. Look
at this
name dropper over here.
I'm dropping names.
T-Donk the name drop.
T-Donk the name drop.
And I can't think of his name. Who's the guy that runs CZW? Drew?
Cordero?
No.
What the hell's his name?
This
is killing me. Brain fart.
Who's the guy that runs CZW? I can't think of his name.
Fuck.
I can't look it up.
I can think about his Game Changer because I was there 2 weeks ago.
Okay, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's actually cool. We should probably talk about that, too.
We're talk about Game Changer? We can talk about... Anyway, my point. Yeah. It was the guy from CZW. Everybody calls him a load. They say he didn't know how to work, whatever. He had a match with Leo Rush. It had no right to be as great as it was. And it was a great match.
But apparently has an ego about him.
But the thing was, like, Leo, like, took the beating because this guy was, like, twice his size. And he just kept getting up and fighting up and getting up. And I don't even remember if he won or lost. But the fact that he stood toe-to-toe with this guy,
yeah,
was amazing. It was amazing.
I liked him in the ring.
And then he no-sold Joey Janela's pile driver or whatever it was off the ladder. That sealed his fate right there. That really did. Because right now, like, that happens, you're on the shit list.
Yep.
And you're signed? I don't know. I just don't like him as the stick man for last year either.
Nor should he be.
As soon as, you know how it all started when Emma got released, and he was like, oh, I guess Emma wasn't ready for Asuka.
It was before that.
That was the first thing.
But the pile driver with Janela didn't ingratiate him with a lot of people.
No, not at all.
But that's not his fault.
Not his fault? Maybe not. I don't know. But still.
You're doing the intro.
If I could ever find a thing. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, she is the empresario of Promociones Dorado. Uh-oh. She is the hottest thing right now in MLW. She's a manager. She's an empresario. She's a producer. And she's only 22 years old, and she's running things. Ladies and gentlemen, Salina de la Renta. How are you, Salina, tonight?
Thank you so much for that introduction. That's very nice.
Well, you absolutely deserve it. You have been blowing up lately, and that's not an understatement. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
We're hanging in there. We're having a good time doing the wrestling talks.
Absolutely.
So, we've been on the MLW bandwagon for the past couple of months, getting into it, following everything.
Watching it every week.
Absolutely. I'm getting very sick of Contra Unit, but that's a whole other story. We could talk about that another time.
I love them.
Are you serious?
She hangs up right now.
Okay, all right, so then let me ask you this. Tom Lawler's got a match coming up for the title against Fatu, right? So if Fatu wins, are we sending L.A. Park out to cash in his contract, or are we going to hang back a little bit?
I mean, why would I tell you that?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Who the fuck are we,
like,
Tony?
Honestly.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, L.A. Park, he's got that briefcase. He was ready to cash in
No, you're trying to get spoilers. I see you. You think I'm not smart?
Look, when else can I get the chance to pick a brain of someone as so intelligent as yourself? Let's be honest.
She pop.
Look. Hey, I'm not going to disparage talent when it's on the line with us. So, real quick, you've actually produced some of the shows, and next week you're actually taking the reins again and producing the next episode of Fusion. And interesting booking, Mance against Sammy, loser leaves MLW. Do you just
isn't that genius?
It is, but my question is, who do you want to get rid of more? Like, who's the one that you're really interested in trying to get rid of? Or should we?
I mean, I hate them both. To me, like, if they could get both, like, equally disqualified, like, that'd be the best. Ooh. But I mean, I don't really know how that could happen. If I could figure out a way to kick both of them out, I would have done it.
Yeah, they
it would be like a winner and loser leave MLW type of deal. But
everyone involved is fired.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, let's fight. Let's see who's going to be the bigger loser and the just loser.
I was going to say, that's not even a stipulation anymore. That's just what is happening.
That's just homage.
But don't worry. Like, I'll find a way to get rid of whoever
that's
is
like,
not with us.
That's I'm in charge. Peace out, bitches.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean, Sammy really tried my life, and Mance is the one that tried it the least. So if I could pick anyone, it'd be the Warhawk, so he can leave MLW forever.
Salina, yeah, you have your hat in many rings, no pun intended, with MLW. What is your favorite aspect of what you do with that company?
So my favorite thing is being in command. That's definitely my favorite. Because then I get to do the fun matches like Mance versus Sammy. That, to me, is my favorite. I get to pick what everybody's going to eat because I pick the catering, too. So I get to pick what everybody's going to eat, what everybody's going to drink, what music they're coming out to, if I really even want to let you come out. Because last show, I just banned Sammy for the whole show. But he still showed up, so since he wanted to show up, now I booked him. And let's see how well it goes for him. So that's just pretty much what I like. I like being in command, telling people, you get to do this, you don't get to do this. You come to me for the paycheck, or you don't get paid at all. So it's really fun. That's my favorite part.
Please tell me there's going to be backstage segments next week with you telling who can eat from what table at catering, because that would be $1 million.
That's funny. That's not on the show, but but keep your hopes up, maybe.
Oh, I really hope so. Like you make Mance and Sammy just eat like baked beans and hot dogs and like just all garbage food.
They're disgusting. They might like that kind of thing. You probably like it too.
We're 3 minutes in. This is the best interview we've ever done on the show.
We all know that you had the falling out with Low-Key. You and Ricky Martinez, you guys left him high and dry. But before that happened, they were in a tag match with a couple of the local guys. One of them was Mr. Grimm. And Low-Key popped this guy before the bell, and Grimm just dropped. Was he hurt?
Normal.
Huh?
That sounds normal.
It looked like he was dead, and I found nothing about him, if he was hurt or whatnot. Did Key legit knock this guy out, or was this just that's what Key does?
That's really what happened. Like, honestly, that's literally what happened. He just hit him, and I guess he just blacked out. He just couldn't get back up.
Wow.
It was really impressive. Honestly, yeah, Low-Key and I probably are not doing business again, but I still have mad respect for him. He is really talented. He is one of the best out there, and he can get the job done within a second. So I admire Low-Key.
Oh, he sure did. He sure did, no doubt about it. I just remember Mr. Grimm as an up-and-comer, and when I saw him take that fall, I said, yeah, something happened. He's done. Forget about it.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. I actually told the ref, I think he's dead, but I don't think he really believed me, because the referee doesn't like, I don't think any ref likes me. I'm not really like I care, but yeah.
I've read up a little bit about you before tonight's interview, and it's just amazing how much you've done in such a short amount of time. You know, I read the story that you just got into wrestling a couple of years ago because you watched Total Divas. I read that you're going for your PhD. You've got 10,000 things going on with MLW. You're still modeling. You do a lot of modeling work. How do you have time to sleep? Like how do you handle doing so much stuff?
Time to sleep, that's whatever. Because I really barely sleep. So I sleep 5 hours, maybe four. And usually because I'm trying to get up early so I can get stuff done and then go to bed late. But I'm young. So if anybody can do it, it's the young people. Not, no offense to those who are older.
Thanks.
But, you know, it's not, honestly, it's true. Once you reach a certain age, you probably don't want to do as much. You want to chill. You want to live life and enjoy the money that you got from all the hard work that you put in the years before that. Hopefully, right? Some people, are broke forever, but sometimes that's okay.
It's like you know us.
But, you know, hopefully by the time I'm older, I don't really have to do much. I can just be at home and chilling. But yeah, so I find time because I prioritize. Sleep is not a priority. Eating is not a priority. Getting the job done is. So, like, my career is number one. Of course, my family goes above it. But everything else in my life is third, fourth, or whatever number they make to the list. Some things don't even make it.
Okay, so you're about 22 years old right now. Did you have a role model, not someone that you were a fan of, but someone in the business that truly inspired you and made you want to do what you're doing today?
So, since, you know, I discover professional wrestling through Total Divas. So I didn't grow up seeing any professional wrestling stars do anything. I knew about John Cena. I knew The Undertaker because, who doesn't know them? And I watched one episode of something that had the Boogeyman, and I remember a man eating worms. That to me was fascinating. But besides that, I really didn't have anybody in wrestling that I grew up like I wanted to be like. The only person that I've always wanted to be like is my mom, and she's been successful at everything that she's tried. She's also a career woman, and she's always shown me that I don't dress for the job that I have. I dress for the one that I want, and that she always says to try my best, and nobody's going to make it being a lazy F. And, she's always like after me telling me, hey, that doesn't look good. And she'll tell me like straight up, this is something that they're going to look in the business and tell you that's horrible. You look like shit. She'll say it like that sometimes. And that's the kind of feedback that I needed growing up so I could build this. I would say, I don't know what I would call it. I would build this character so that people, like, in the public eye, a lot of people talk about you, and say some hurtful stuff sometimes. And thanks to my mom, I grew up with that attitude where you can say whatever you want, and I understand that I'm a public figure, so that's what's coming. And she's always shown me how to get the job done, how to prioritize, how to get the things that are important done, and whatever is life, it doesn't really matter. She's always said that if I can risk 10, 15 years of my life, I can guarantee the next 40 or 50 or whatever comes after. So that's pretty much what I've been doing since I've been, smart enough to pursue a career. And yeah, so my mom would be the person I look up to.
I was not that smart at 22, so I have a great appreciation for that.
Wasn't that smart. I got smartened up that's pretty much how it went. At 19, I'd say I was starting to get the hang of it, but I met different people in wrestling, and they really have helped my perspective change in different things, and I get to pick the mind of Kurt Bauer now and Jim Cornette and people that have been around forever. So it makes my job easier to be surrounded by people that have done it already. And they tell me, hey, if you do it like this, this could happen, but if you want to risk it, you can, or there's this other way. So it's not completely, I wasn't born into this. No, I over the years, I got to learn with hands on whatever I'm doing.
Absolutely. And you mentioning Kurt Bauer, who's the CEO of MLW, you kind of have a direct line to him, which I think is great. And I know in past interviews, you've spoken about how there's been a lot of breathing room to explore ideas, and that's such a hot topic now more than ever. Can you just talk to us a little bit about the impact that it makes on the MLW product and just why that's so important in wrestling in general?
I'm not quite sure what you're asking me now.
Just that it sounded like you had said that you had a lot of breathing room to explore this creativity rather than have all these restrictions on you, that there's been a little bit of a testing ground.
Okay.
And the importance
that
that's freedom provided.
So, yes, in a lot of companies, I've noticed that it's pretty much, this is what you're doing, end of story, you don't get a say. So in MLW, we have something that I call, well, I don't call it, they call it, creative freedom. And it's just pretty much letting you explore and try different things and you coming to figuring out who you want to be. And them doing the job of portraying that, whatever you want to be. It's not, they don't sit down and tell me, hey, you're going to be a businesswoman and you're going to executive produce this show and be modeling. Like, they don't tell me do this or that. They just tell me, what can you do? And they try to make that into the most amplified version of myself that they can make.
And we are on the line with Selena De La Renta from MLW. You can follow her on Twitter at Selena De La Renta, also the same handle on Instagram. Selena, I mean, we keep harping on this because it's so fascinating to us. But what do you think your best attribute is for MLW that has contributed to the success that you've had already?
Well, I'm multi-talented.
That's a very good point.
Straight to the point.
All right.
I can do more than one thing for sure. I would say that's my best asset.
So do you feel like you have strengths in some area more than the other, or are you just all across the board just like dope at everything?
She is dope at everything. Come on.
Well, I'm not dope at everything. Like, I can't do normal stuff, like housewife stuff. I can't really cook. Like, I can cook some like stuff from my country, but that's about it. I can make breakfast and like dump proof stuff. I don't know, like for dummies type of food. I can, you know, I can't even clean my own clothes. Like, I gotta take them to the cleaners. Like, I'm pretty bad at all this house stuff.
Well, you do have quite you've got an expensive wardrobe, so I mean, I wouldn't trust my Whirlpool machine with that stuff either.
Absolutely. Well, those don't even. So honestly, I don't even have to wash those because I wear them one time and that's it. Usually, some fan buys it, or they just stay in my closet forever. Because I have a thing for, like, I know which outfits I already wore, and probably nobody's gonna notice. But if somebody noticed, I would be depressed for at least 2 months. So I'm not repeating it. There's no way.
So you don't subscribe to the mantra of like, I'll wear the same thing 2 days in a row if I'm around different people?
No. I do that only if there's like 2 tapings and I need it for continuity.
Unfortunately,
I'll wear it 2 days, but yeah. That's about it.
Okay, you mentioned that there's people that'll buy stuff that you've worn already, and I noticed the first thing that comes up when you Google your name, it says Salina De La Renta feet. I have to ask, is this something that you know about? Because I'm kind of creeped out even knowing that that's up there. But like, how do you deal with the creep factor?
I wouldn't know if my feet are nationally wanted. Okay. I don't know why it happened or how it happened. But it really became a really big deal. And apparently there's like a celebrity feet page. And somebody told me that, like, I have a really high rating on it.
Well, there you go.
You made it.
I made it to the celebrity Hall of Fame.
It's like your Uber rating.
it's disgusting. I don't even know. Like, I mean, everybody has something they like, you know. I like dudes, but
atta girl.
It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing.
You had mentioned earlier that your mom was tough on you, and she'll let you know when things are working and things aren't working. And we got a question from a fan of ours. It's Conrad from Alabama. He asked this. He says, being in female wrestling isn't an easy thing. The fact that you're a badass, it just can't be easy. With everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks with fan and talent, I think he's talking about the Allure incident at, I believe it was Ring of Honor. The incident with Velvet Sky. At Ring of Honor with the fan, are you familiar with what happened?
No,
I'm not. Taya
Valkyrie, you mean?
No, there was the other incident with Taya Valkyrie. Long story short, it was a guy at a Ring of Honor. It was a Ring of Honor show that Allure was at.
Yes, Ring of Honor is Allure.
Yeah, where the fan was getting mouthy, and Velvet Sky got into it with him, and then Bully Ray grabbed the guy backstage.
What's the question?
Well, there was also one recently with Taya Valkyrie getting into it with a fan where they were yelling at each other and the fan spit at him. Is this stuff that you're conscious of? Is this stuff that happens to you? Is this stuff that that you have to deal with when you're working for MLW?
Well, not with MLW. Like, if anybody touched me at MLW, they're big danger. Like, touching me would be a terrible thing to do at MLW. I only have like about 12 people, like, on a snap that I can just be like, all right, get them, and that's it. But in Mexico, oh my gosh.
Okay, we got stories. This is awesome.
They threw pesos. Have you ever seen a peso?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're big and they're heavy and they're stupid.
For those of you who don't know, it's a big coin. And the entire audience started throwing these at my head. It wasn't like, hey, we love the match, let's throw money. And LA Park even was like, oh, gosh, we have to get 3 bodyguards to get me out of the building, because apparently they didn't like that I said that I had a lot of money. and I was going to send it to Donald Trump so he could build a wall. And that was it. Like,
Jesus.
I mean, I that was not the only thing I said. That was just like, that one was for fun. I said some other stuff to actually like get them mad. And I guess I did my job. The promoter even like, LA Park at the end of that show apologized to a lot of people. And I got on the mic because I was pissed. I was like, that's embarrassing. You don't apologize to the people after I told them about themselves. So I got on the mic and told them a little more. And some women were just running and trying to get me. And the promoter was like, oh my God, what have you done? I've never seen people so mad. I was like, well, you said you wanted me to get them mad. So I did my job. You're welcome. If anything, give me a raise.
and that's incredible. And from someone who hasn't been a lifelong wrestling fan, to generate that kind of heat is ridiculous. Where do you draw your creative energy from for the wrestling business, for someone who hasn't watched a whole lot in your lifetime?
So this is going to be crazy. I was bullied for a long time of my life. And if you call me ugly, I would be, oh my God, that's it. I was super offended. I would go home crying. And then my mom has always been there for me. It's like, if from this interview, you can't get that. Like, I can't say it enough. She's really like the reason why I have everything I have. So when I came back to my mom saying, hey man, I must be really ugly. Like everybody's telling me. And she's like, you go back and you tell them that they're the ones that are ugly. And then if they still insist that you're ugly, tell them to not look at you. And when they go like, well, I'm not looking at you, you tell them then how do you know I'm ugly? You always have to find something to say. And I remember this was the first time that she told me something. I remember exactly the words because it was the first time I stood up for myself. And every time that somebody would say something, I would come back and be like, Mom, they said this and I had nothing to say. And then she would be like, well, now you say this, this and that. And I would go back the next day and be like, ha, I thought about that stuff you said to me. And in front of everybody, I'm going to tell you right now, this, 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 and that. And I started getting pops really early in my life. So after doing that, calling out everybody and then make scenes everywhere in high school. Like I hit somebody with a quesadilla. Like I was like, if I'm not having it, honestly, if you're going to piss me off, I'm going to piss you off. And the one thing that like, my mom wanted to make sure I didn't get bullied. So she made me into this person that's like, all right, if you do this, I'll make it even worse, but like 10 times worse. And then I would bully the person for like 2 weeks and oh, it would be so bad. And then that this type of personality is very common in Puerto Rico. But when I moved here, it wasn't. Everybody's so chill. Like nobody, like the culture is different. I had culture shock for, I would say maybe a year. And it was rough because I am a rough person and I didn't know that. Like in Puerto Rico, it was funny. Here, it's offensive. So I would just be insulting everybody. I had no friends in high school. And then I met professional wrestling where this is accepted. This is what people pay for. They pay to get insulted. And I couldn't believe it. So I'm like, I could be a professional shit talker. What? And I can make crazy money for this. What? So now I sit down, I watch rap battles, I find out what's funny, what hurts people, what doesn't. And I try to keep it in. So there's a thin line of like hurting people and insulting as a heel. Like there's like, it's a very thin line. If I just go on the crowd and I start pointing at people, I'm like, you're fat, you're ugly. And I won't say anything that is not true. So if I say hurtful stuff, I know that it can get really bad because I don't like hurting people in the audience. Like they don't pay to get hurt. They pay to get insulted cheaply and laugh at it. Or they'll laugh with you if it's funny enough. But I don't know. I guess that I've been trying to defend myself my entire life, that when I moved here and didn't have to do it, I decided to make a living of it.
That makes all the sense in the world. Taking yourself out of the equation and out of the question, and we'll let you go in just a couple minutes. If people have not been watching MLW, foolishly, by the way, if they have been watching MLW, what reason, what like mission statement would you tell them to tune in to MLW Fusion?
What reason?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, a good reason would be because MLW only started about less than 2 years ago. And we're on national and international television. And that is historically, like, not even done. Like, it's really not, it hasn't been done like that. Like, nobody gets picked up that fast. And we went from a show that had maybe 300 people, and now it's everywhere. And now people are fighting to get tickets. Like, the show for September 7th,
that's in Dallas,
almost sold
right?
out. I mean, it's only been out for a day.
And that's in that's in Dallas, Texas, correct?
That's correct. And numbers don't lie, so we must be doing something right.
What's your favorite character, other than yourself and the people you're associated with? What's your favorite thing about watching MLW?
I love Contra Unit.
The you're
one
so
thing
mean.
That somebody here hates. Contra Unit, to me, they do whatever they want. They get away with everything. And that's the point of being a badass.
But they're so mean.
They are.
They beat up Barrington Hughes.
They're doing something right.
They beat up Ace Romero. They hit him with the spike in the back of the head. They're awful. They cut Tom Lawler's hair. They cut his hair.
But who likes Tom?
I do. Tom's a freak now without his hair.
Oh, man.
He's been a freak. I don't know what you're talking about. That guy is something.
Oh, he's something. He's something. Oh,
man.
Yeah. So,
before we let you go.
An experiment, because he's like he comes from another world into professional wrestling thinking it's the same. But whatever. Let's not get into Tom.
Real quick, what's your opinion on the Hart Foundation? You got, you know, Brian Pillman Jr., Davey Boy Jr., Teddy Hart.
I love them. Personally and character-wise. I think they're fun, entertaining. They get the job done. Like, they can get across what they're trying to get across really easy. I think Teddy is crazy. I think he should be sent back to the mental house. But then... if we sent him to the mental hospital, then we probably wouldn't have a champion. So, well, I mean, we definitely would have a champion. It's not like we need Teddy to run wrestling. But you know, he does really well. He performs really good. And I don't know, nothing but admiration for the work.
Okay, so we're going to let you go. But
I got another question.
No,
so keep going.
Every answer that you give inspires another question out of us. So when did you realize that you had the idea of when you can tell something is working and something is not in wrestling? Like, you just mentioned that I think that they're great on like, obviously you like them personally and professionally you enjoy that. When did that thought process enter your mind where you can tell what works and what doesn't work in wrestling?
Well, unlike many people, I don't try and see, like, look at things and be like, well, that works because I like it, or this doesn't work because I don't like it. Instead of doing that, I use my brain, and I actually look at the logistics. So when we do the MLW surveys, you can ask, like, who would you want to see be champ? And then if they say Loki, which I've read, then you look at Loki's job and you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. If the people are buying into this, then he is doing something right. Then let's try and pick at Loki's brain and see what he has to offer. And now he has some crazy idea and we try it. If the numbers goes up, then what? Then he was right and the people are getting what they wanted. So that's pretty much what I do with everybody. If I see that it's working elsewhere and everybody's talking about it, not just me, I don't need to think that it's great, because I think that a lot of things are crap, but they sell. So if they, I mean, like eating Tide Pods, for example, I think that's stupid, but that's all over the internet.
Holy shit.
If I could hire somebody to eat a Tide Pod, I would, because a lot of people would watch it. So, you know, it's just finding what works for the people, not for you.
This is the greatest interview ever.
It really is. And I'm gonna throw this at you real quick. I know that you guys, you're on the outs with Low Key right now. You might need somebody to replace him. And I'm recommending the new national champion, Alex Hammerstone. That kid's a hoss. He'd be
Wow.
For real?
Of
For real though.
I'd recommend Alex Hammerstone.
Seriously. Jesus. He's a champion.
And
he'd be bringing the gold. He'd be bringing you the gold.
What?
I don't know. I like the guy. I think he'd be a perfect fit.
You like the guy?
Yeah,
the
I do.
Or the hair?
He's handsome.
You see, that's a problem. He's handsome for you. He works for you, not for me.
All right, Tony.
I tried, Alex.
Way to bring the show down,
hey,
kid.
I'm trying to put in a good word for a friend of ours. What do you want me to tell you? This was amazing, Selena. Thank you so much for spending time with us tonight. Is there anything else that you want to put out there before we let you go?
Well, nothing that I want to put out there. I feel like everything is out there, but I do want to remind everybody that my second produced MLW Fusion show is going to be this Saturday on Being Sports. And for those of you who can't afford having Being Sports or simply have Comcast assholes that don't have Being Sports anymore,
then you can
watch it on YouTube on Monday.
You just called all three of us assholes. We all have Comcast. We suck.
Yeah, you do.
That's right. Listen, she's not lying.
No, she's definitely
but
not.
But we do watch on YouTube. That's how I catch MLW Fusion.
I watched the live stream last night.
Yep. So we do thank
Long
you.
Long live social media.
That's right. Where would we be without it?
Probably back in the 19-something.
There you go. Selena De La Reina, thank you so much. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter, at Selena De La Reina. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye. She's awesome.
She was
amazing.
By far the most fun interview we've ever done. This is better than Stevie Ray.
I thought Alex Hammerstone taking fucking s'more shits last week was good. This was fucking insane. We talked about Tide Pods. We talked about throwing
cases. She said she would hire someone to eat Tide Pods.
And she threw quesadillas at kids in high school.
Those words came out of her face. That's incredible.
She was awesome.
Kate, what did you take away from that interview?
I just really appreciated that she was like, I'm going to find a way to get paid to talk shit. It's amazing.
That's like a mission that everyone should follow.
I think so.
She entertained the feet question, too.
I was really surprised you went there, by the way.
Look, sometimes you just got to take us. And look what it got us.
It got us some weird talk.
We got guys throwing pesos at her in Mexico. I mean, like,
are pesos really that heavy?
They're huge coins. They're huge.
Do you remember the like Sacagawea dollars?
Yes,
they're bigger than those.
And wow, they're heavy.
Yowie, wowie.
They must make them with lead.
Eddie's LLC Beer Garden. Yowie, wowie.
Eddie's Beer Garden, is that the thing?
Eddie's LLC,
Eddie's
right?
Something like
sons,
that.
Sons, kids.
Eddie's friends. Friends
Eddie's
of
boys.
Eddie.
Boys.
Eddie's boys.
Eddie's boys.
Eddie's boys. You got a treat tonight, buddy. Jesus.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. MLW, like we've said on this show, if you've been listening for the last month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, we watch it every week now. I'm going to call a spade. I don't know why, but I watch it and I enjoy it. So they got me once and they got me every week. So there's that.
No, good times, good times. Don't mind me. I'm just doing research for going home because I forgot to get one today.
I forgot to do a going home too. Son of a bitch. I mean, we have this encyclopedia that Matt sent us, so there should be something in here.
Oh, Eli Drake is now finally a free agent.
Oh, that's true.
So maybe Drakeston Eliasif is going to be on NXT.
Drake?
Drakeston Elias?
You're guessing that's what his name's going
to
be?
Yeah, I'm just trying to come up with a name. Yeah,
well, there's already an Elias, dopey.
Okay, so then how do we get Eli Drake into a funny name?
Did you see what DJ Z changed his name to?
No.
It's Joaquin Wild.
Joaquim?
Oh, maybe it's Joaquim. I don't know. It could be Joaquim.
Joaquin.
It's like Joaquim.
Yeah, that's Joaquim.
All right, Joaquim Wild.
I didn't mean to be a dick. I'm just... You know.
No, I have no idea. I thought it was Joaquim.
Joaquim?
Dancing Queen.
Okay.
Young and free, only 17.
And the gimmick is there.
There it is. Imagine there was a Dancing Queen gimmick. Oh, wait, yeah.
Why wouldn't there be?
Wasn't there Fandango? Oh,
ABBA.
Dalton Castle. He's probably...
That's the closest to ABBA as you're going to get.
I hate Dalton Castle. I'm so glad he's not wrestling. Look, I feel bad if
that's
he's
hurt. That's so mean, bro.
Yeah, whatever.
It's like some Kevin Durant shit I'm gonna pay.
Dude, that... I watched that game. I turned off Raw to watch that game last night.
It was a great game.
And the fact, listen, I'm not shitting on the Toronto fans as much as everyone else is. Because they, in the heat of the moment, I totally get that something good happened for your team, even though it was bad for that individual.
Yeah, but the way he went down, dude. Like, That was bad.
It didn't look... He looked like... To me, when he did it, it didn't look like it was super painful, but it looked like he knew that something was... Something. We're talking about basketball, Tony. It's the NBA.
Oh, I don't
it's
care. I just got myself the greatest going home of all time. And it shits on one of your current favorite wrestlers on the Raw roster. Not Curt Hawkins.
Zack Ryder?
No.
Miz?
We'll get to it in a few minutes. Don't worry about it.
You fucking tell me.
It's going to be amazing.
Amazing?
No.
Hmm.
Stop! You're not going to guess.
How am I not going to guess if he's one of my favorites?
Who or, said he?
I was going to say Lacey
Evans. Oh, Lacey Evans! I love Lacey Evans. Dude, I love that split screen promo that they did on Raw was awesome.
She's terrible.
She can't wrestle.
She looked like shit in the Royal Rumble this year. And I was like, what is this nonsense? The Woman's Right is a cool nickname for the Punch, though.
I'll give her promos, but she can't wrestle.
And she needs...
Like, you could be the most charismatic guitarist in the world, but if you can't play guitar...
She needs 30s big band music. That theme song she has...
Like, we did this. We already went through this. And the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boys of Company B.
I was listening on a plane, and it cut out, and then when I tuned back in, it was just you guys singing Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. And I had no context for it. I was just like...
Listen, I agree that she's not as polished, but her character is there, and she can get better. People get brought up earlier than they probably should be, and they get better. Batista got better.
She's okay with the character. She's got to work on the character. She's definitely got to work on the wrestling. She's definitely...
All right, that'll come.
That was my German. You said Selena De La Rena, and I was like,
Renta.
No, you flew through it.
Oh, did
I? Yeah, it was pretty funny.
It's probably why she kind of left on a sour
note. Yeah, she was like,
okay.
I heard her say, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you, Kevin. Selena De La Renta car.
Well, you get that. Wow. Matt asks for a picture for her for social media. I send him Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He's like, that's not her. I was like, I tried. It would have been so funny if he posted the wrong picture.
That'd be amazing.
Isn't there like... it's going to sound so bad.
Oh, there was one time...
Isn't there like a... never mind. I'm not even going to
say it. We interviewed Billy Silverman, the referee.
From WCW.
It was after he got fired from WWF when he had that whole issue. And I posted,
what was his issue?
Didn't he have something where... It might have been JBL. Somebody bullied him or somebody gave him a hard time about something.
JBL.
So he said, fuck this, I quit.
I don't remember.
I posted the picture of Mickey J.
Yeah, you've done that before, bro. I'm like, dude, that's not Billy. I remember I called, like, dude, that's not Billy Silverman, bro.
You know how hard it was to find a Billy Silverman picture after that? I just wish it would have been Billy Kay.
Dude, I can't imagine it'd be any harder than finding a Mickey J photo.
No, the picture I found of Billy Silverman is him standing in front of the Welcome to Las Vegas sign from his personal Facebook page.
Stop.
That was the only picture I could find of him.
No, that's not.
Maybe you'll be able to find one now, but whenever we interviewed him, it was like the first thing.
It'd probably be easier then.
It was horrible.
He was more relevant then than he is now.
Mickey J.
He had a feud with Perry Saturn, by the way, in WCW.
I was so tempted to put a picture of Mr. Touchdown up for Alex Hammerstone, too.
The resemblance is uncanny.
Definitely uncanny. Oh, by the way, congratulations to Trip Cassidy. His crew is getting into the King of Trios tournament for Chikara.
All right.
I don't know if you saw that. That's a big deal.
That's awesome.
I don't know if you're familiar with Trip Cassidy.
Yeah.
Okay. So
DJ Hyde, by the way.
That's it, DJ Hyde. Why couldn't I think of his name? The guy that owns CZW.
You were thinking of Drew Cordero. Probably.
I was thinking Drew, but I had DJ's face in my head.
We didn't talk about Game Changer.
Okay, let's talk about Game Changer.
You got time.
Really, really, really good. Jimmy Lloyd, I think,
good talk.
Stole the night.
Yeah, that was, I think you're going to leave it at that.
That's it. Oof, going that's home. It. No, it was, first of all, it was my first death match in person, so that was, like, intense for me.
It wasn't Louis, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God, Louis against...
No.
It was Louis Ramos?
No, it wasn't Lolo.
No.
Lolo, Louis, I don't think, worked.
But
he
doesn't work Game Changer? I thought he does.
He
works there.
He works, like, for them, I guess, for lack of a better term. I don't think he actually does... I mean, he might.
He was there. I don't know what if anything he was doing.
I had a buddy there
who
talked to him too. Really? You talked to Louis
for like a minute.
Love Louis.
Yeah, it was awesome. Super cool.
He retired 17 times too. But I'm sorry, we're getting away from your Game Changer moments.
No, it was great. There were like 500 people there, which was pretty astonishing, especially for Atlantic City. It's not like the
old showboat.
The showboat, which lost its gambling license, so there's no games.
It's just
there.
A hotel.
It's so creepy because there's skeletons of games.
Years ago.
Oh, this is a long.
They're getting it back, I guess.
I think,
are they?
But you walk in. Actually, the person that we met through at the G1 Supercard, Kevin Gill, was there announcing. And I went down to hang out with him. And he said he checked in at like 8 in the morning on Friday or something. And he was like, in case it's not dead and weird enough in Atlantic City at 8 a.m. on a Friday, there's no games. That's it's just so an empty weird. Hallway and like some lights of where games used to be. And he was like, it was like I was walking through a horror movie or something. It was nuts.
And the Showboat, I believe, is connected via like some sort of like bridge to another casino.
The Hard Rock, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the Hard Rock now.
Yeah, so yeah.
Okay. A lot of them have like little walkways and tunnels.
Well, I thought it wasn't the Hard Rock. The Hard Rock is relatively new.
Yeah, this, yeah.
It used to be, I think, the Taj, if
probably.
I'm not mistaken.
So,
I haven't been to AC in like a decade.
Well, I would only go to play poker.
No, last time I was down there was for the Rock Band tournaments.
That's where T-Donk is coming from, because donkey is a poker term. And I used to call all of my friends my donkeys. So I'm like, hey, there's T-Donk.
I don't really gamble, though.
Like, wait, what is a donkey in poker?
It's a terrible, terrible bad player. Someone who makes stupid decisions and just doesn't know
like,
the game.
Like the British slang for like an idiot, like a donkey.
But it's American. So if I have like aces and I'm like pushing, and you call me with like 5-2 offsuit, and you happen to catch 5-2 on like the river and the turn in the river, you're a fucking donkey. You shouldn't be in this fucking hand. So that's where I call like a lot of my people. It's more of an upbeat term, donkeys. Now that's where
T-Donk.
I played 2-5 off suit one time, and I pulled 2-2s on the flop. And the guy next to me was the same shit. He had
you know what I'm talking about. So you know the terms.
No, I didn't know the terms, but he had kings, and I fucking won the hand. I kept calling him. He threw everything on the fucking table.
Yeah, because you're a fucking donkey. That's why you're T-Donk.
I won with 3-2. I was like, fuck this guy. And he was a friend of mine, too. He got so pissed at me.
T-Donk.
Oh, well.
The Game Changer was amazing. The vibe in there was incredible. It seems like there's more of a rivalry with CCW than I thought there was, particularly with Jimmy Lloyd coming out with a CCW as a pussy shirt,
which is pretty amazing.
Was Game Changer the one that had the whole thing with CCW?
Yeah.
Oh, that's still
like
going
they
on.
Showed up at a show or CCW showed up at one of their shows.
Yeah.
Well, Game Changer, I guess, from word on the street, was that Game Changer wanted to be like in support of and expand the brand, and they were like, "You don't know anything about death matches," and so they splintered off into their own successful.
Is that Matt Tremont's thing, Game Changer?
Game Changer is Brett and Danny DeMonto.
Brett
Lauderdale.
Oh, okay.
Referee Lauderdale.
Danny DeMonto.
Yeah. Wow. I believe. Again, I don't know what their roles are. I'm pretty sure it's Brett and Danny's thing.
He came back and he got fucked up. Remember when he busted his femur?
His leg doing like the moonsault to the outside.
Yeah. And he was in so much better shape than he was earlier in his career. And then he has this horrific injury.
Yeah. But listen, I root for Game Changer. I love Brett. Brett was always, he'd always used to be a ref before, in the other company before WrestlePro. Always
you could say PWS.
PWS.
I'm just going to get mad.
Yeah, I know. He was awesome to me. He was a great guy.
Kevin's with the kayfabe, keeping shit like real.
I hate this part. I hate these parts of the show when that happens. People shit on me for not wanting to say things, and then
you could say it, dude. Nobody's gonna be like,
but if I don't, it doesn't hurt the product.
Yeah, but it's like, yo, Kevin was talking about PWS on the episode Tuesday.
I do still have my PWS hoodie though.
Which you wear frequently?
I do because it's a zip up hoodie.
Dude, if you ever got called out for that, that's when you gotta hang it up. That's ridiculous shit.
It's all good. That's so long ago, and what I do now with these guys are so much better. So
yeah. If you say so.
It is.
He didn't drop too many names tonight. This is a good night for Kevin.
You dropped more names than me.
Oh, I dropped DJ Kai.
I called a Leo Rush match.
I also called a Big Damo match before he got signed.
Oh, what are the matches
I called?
I called
the Mr. Grimm match before he got knocked out by Loki.
For Tier None Wrestling.
Tier None. That was awesome.
Tier None Wrestling. I'm a big-time announcer.
They're coming back, you know.
I know they are.
Don't sleep on the
Tier Timothy ones. Thatcher. That will drop his name, too.
Timothy Thatcher was awesome.
Oh, William Regal was there. Horse Scufflarg.
Hey, man, they were in with Evolve for a while. That was some cool stuff.
Oh, Gabe Sapolsky. I'll drop some more names.
You got to do a live podcast, well, a recorded podcast.
Oh, my God. Tony, thank you so much.
Now,
I bow
right,
to
now.
Your excellence.
You should. I'm going to make you eat Tide Pods for money.
How much?
It's going to get thrown at your head, though.
While you're dying, I'm going to throw quesadillas at you.
Listen,
the best show on earth would be somebody eating Tide Pods while getting pelted in the head by pesos and quesadillas.
That would go viral.
That would go viral.
Yesterday.
That would be awesome. Do you have a going home?
I do.
All right, I'm going to find some music. You get to go first.
All right.
Let me, I played Roddy Piper earlier. Oh, here's a good one we haven't played in a while.
The Spirit Squad?
No.
On the Mountie, or the Quebecers. Brave or strong, we're not the Mounties. We enforce the law. All right, going home.
What do you got?
John Cena was interviewed by TMZ about the Undertaker and Bill Goldberg match and whether they should consider retirement after the match. And he said that that is up to each individual, and at 42 years old, it's something that he struggles with every day. If John Cena does choose to retire, which we don't know, this is just an interview, John Cena goes down as my top four Mount Rushmore wrestlers of all time.
Really?
And John Cena has done more for the business in the last 20 years than a lot of people can lay claim to. So John Cena, don't, if you want to retire, retire, be a movie star, you're the man.
Kevin had a moment.
He did. Does he break Flair's record before he goes?
I don't think he, I don't think he cares.
I don't think he wants to. I don't think he wants to. Yeah. Maybe he was probably approached with it and they said nah.
What about a tie? Are they tied? They're not tied yet.
No, he's at
he's one behind, right?
Cena's at 15 or 16?
I think 16.
I think they're tied, right?
Didn't they take out the trademark?
And Triple H is 14 and Orton is 13, I think.
Something like that. Something like that.
I think Triple H cares more about it than Cena, but I don't even think Triple H cares.
Well, Triple H put the title on himself a few years ago with the Royal Rumble, remember?
Yeah, that was a storyline thing.
It was a shit story is what it was.
The Authority.
We're going to make you defend the title in the Rumble. Whatever. Do you have a going home, Kate? You don't need one. No pressure.
I don't, but I did have a question relating to the pod. If Kathy Hummer is the queen of
Tie
the pod...
Pad?
Touché. It's a tie podcast. If she's the queen, does that make her Charlotte Flair? And what does that make me? Was my question.
Well, all right.
Am I in?
I'm gonna throw some truth syrup at you.
Oh God.
Hummer's been with us since day one, so she's
day
been
one-ish.
Like she's been day one ish with the Shining Wizards, and she's a super fan, super wrestling fan, super podcast fan. So
do I get in her corner?
Well,
do I support?
You're like.
I don't even know who Charlotte Flair is facing right now because I'm so out on the product, and she's in title feuds all over the place. And on
you
the
could
see,
I would say something cool, but you'd be offended by it.
You can be Bobby Heenan to her Nick Bockwinkle.
I'll take that.
How's that?
Any
That's
day.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Any
all right,
day.
There you go.
Touche.
All right, so
or you could be her Cyndi Lauper to her Wendy Richter.
Oh,
that's pretty. Hey, Cyndi
Lauper.
If
Lauper, I get to be Cyndi Lauper, that's pretty
all
right.
She's still highly relevant.
Yep,
she's producing she's Broadway awesome. Musicals. She still looks good for her 60s.
I'm just trying to...
I'm just saying.
I can go all day with that. Now that's a whole nother conversation.
The Mountie.
No, we're the Mounties. We're not the Mounties.
All right, can I get my going home before Drew kills us?
Ah, shut up.
Let's see. Well, Matt Riddle ingratiated himself by talking shit about the match between Goldberg and Undertaker the other day, right?
Loved it.
Well, it gets even better. Let me see. Let me read here. Evans here, blah, 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 blah. Evans caught a lot of flack, Lacey Evans, after her Raw match for not doing her part during a belly-to-belly in the tag team match. After a fan posted to Twitter referring to Evans as, quote, absolute shit for sandbagging Bayley, Ritter replied, she must have watched Super Showdown.
John Ritter? Replied? He's
Did I
dead.
Say Ritter?
Yeah.
I didn't say Riddle. Selena De La Rena.
Selena De La Rena.
That might be the name of the show tonight.
You think you know
And with that, we are going to pull this train into the station. Don't forget, we have t-shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards.
Get
Kevin,
the Wolfpack shirt.
You got comedies?
No, actually.
Really?
No, not this
We got
week.
Dumbfellas coming up?
Monday.
Really?
Yes.
I really hope, because Natty Bumpercar has been holding it down while you guys are gone. But
listen, I got a big week. I'm going to go and get drunk.
All right, that sounds like a plan.
That's my fucking. I can't on my birthday.
Give us a Dumbfellas on your birthday. Record a
tomorrow.
Yeah.
How am I going to give you a Dumbfellas on a Wednesday?
Just put your pocket, put your phone in your pocket, press record, and just let things happen.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
I know. That's why I'm interested.
Oof. That might be out of.
Kate the Great, thank you for joining us.
Thank
in the studio.
You so much,
Thanks for
Kate.
Having me.
Taking the place of Matt and not stuttering nearly as much.
I do what I can. I didn't make fun of anyone's hair.
Oof. Whose hair would you have made fun of?
Probably
Ooh.
Mine.
No, I mean, he has a thing about wrestlers' hairs.
Who, Matt?
Yeah.
He's an idiot. Have you seen his hair?
Touche. But he gets, like, very picky about wrestling hair. funny.
I'm taking that big gold belt from your Ziggler, by the way.
Oh, are you really?
Yep.
You can. Oh, whatever. Well, folks, once again, thanks for joining us. Stay tuned on The Rant. The Rant is coming up next. If you listen to us in podcast form, thanks again for the downloads.
Thank you, Selena Del Arena.
Thank you, Selena Del Arena, for joining us on the hotline. And I guess we'll see you next Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.